Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. That's 605-562-3140. The access code is 385-698. That's 385-698. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have any questions or comments. And, of course, if anybody would like to email us a question, send questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, that is questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our partners, which all of the proceeds go to support the National Liberty Alliance's effort. We have two particularly, Numana, a non-GMO long-term storage food, and we also have East End Rare Coins, dealer of silver and gold. And for more information on these companies, you can click on our banners on the right side of the website. That's National Liberty Alliance.org. In a short while, we're going to have a representative from Numana come in and tell us a little bit about the product and what they put together and why people should take a look at them. His name is Carl. We'll get him into the queue when we're ready. Also please support National Liberty Alliance by donating maybe $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side. And now let us take a moment to look into God's mind. Tonight's scripture reading is Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 22, Reward of Following Wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for a hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of the judgment. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leaves the path of uprightness, to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoices to do evil, and delights in the forwardness of the wickedness, whose ways are crooked, and they are forward in their path, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths into the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of a good man, to keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Okay, that was God's Word, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Okay, I guess, Gerard or Gary, Robert, you have anything that you might want to share before we get started?
I don't, before we get started.
Gerard? And let me unmute Eric. I see Eric is in there. And by the way, Carl from Numana, if you can hit *6, you'll get into the queue. Carl from Numana, hit *6, and you'll get into the queue, and we'll open up your mic. Meanwhile, let's open up for Eric. I know he's got some announcements. There's been some activities over the past, at the end of last week and over the weekend. Eric, you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted your listeners to be aware of the case of our Utah State coordinator, Steve Dean. And I'm hoping that just about everybody on this call, I know a few people on this call may not be on the Internet. I know my friend Walt out there, he may be doing this over the phone. So you all know my number, 585-730-9220. Call me if you need to talk and you can't get up online. But one of our members, our Utah State coordinator, was basically set up by the FBI, and he's in jail being held until his trial on June 8th without any release. And he's being absolutely abused. They're charged, I mean, not physically, believe me, the pressure that the National Liberty Alliance, especially the Courtroom Observers Network, has been applying has been the only thing that has been kept keeping him safe. Public pressure is essential right now. We can't let anything, they're charging him $12.16 for a 15-minute phone call. The money's going to run out soon. So just let me start off with this. Can I appeal to people? If you'd like to make a small donation to Steve's phone account so we can communicate with him. This is one of our top NLA members. Let me tell you something. Based on what I heard about his court appearance today, the government is absolutely scared to death of the National Liberty Alliance. We have more power now than we've ever had, and we're growing by leaps and bounds. The one thing, there's two things that are going to keep us safe. Number one, don't submit to the fear. And number two, bury the enemy in paperwork. Let them know where you are. Come into the light. We're all out in the open now. We either fight and we're free, or we go down and hide and we're slaves. So this is a crucial turning point where I have to implore people, if you're going to be in this, you better be in it and have guts and courage. This is not for the faint of heart. So, and Steve's taking a hit for all of us, and we all have to stand behind him. Nobody flees the battle now, okay, or shame on you. This man was taken, first of all, he was set up by the FBI, and they admitted it in court today. He was arrested on a warrant with no signature from a judge, and we have Sergeant Hanson, the lead jailer, admitting that to the Courtroom Observers Network in a recorded phone call. Number three, they drove him 60 miles from his house to a jurisdiction not where the crime was committed, strictly a reprisal to make it difficult on people from his family and community to come visit. Well, that's getting changed around because apparently the pressure that we've put on is going to lead to him being transferred back to Salt Lake County, Utah, where his tribal people are. Steve's a Native American, stand-up guy, did all his Coahuiltos and mandamuses. And we better all do the same because we're going to hang together or we're going to hang separate. And we have to join up, come out, do our due diligence, do our homework. If you have any questions or problems, hit it. There's no more time for digging around, though, people. We got to get on this now because one of our members is suffering for all of us. So,
hey, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't it the marshals and not the FBI?
No, the further investigation has revealed that it was the FBI who set him up. It was the marshals were involved in the arrest and the kidnapping, driving him 60 miles from his home. They could have put him in the Salt Lake County Jail, which is the jurisdiction he lives in. Instead, they took him to Utah County, 60 miles
right.
away. And I said, is that where the crime was committed? Because often they have to take the alleged the defendant. To the jurisdiction where the crime was committed. They didn't even take him there. They just took him to a third-party county to try to make it difficult on him. So I'm pissed off, and I hope everybody else is too. And if anybody's stupid enough to be a gutless coward and run because they pinched one of our members, you just go live on your knees as a slave. So I don't think too many National Liberty Alliance members are scared, and I don't think we're stupid, and we're not going to run from this battle. We have to stand by Steve. The phone number is to call. I will help. Public pressure makes a difference. They hear when people scream. So be professional, be nice, be polite. Don't submit to the fear. Make this very expensive on the system. Send out some extra Coahuiltos. Send out some extra mandamuses. Put up a line. I want everybody on this call who can afford $35. Sometimes you get it for less, to put a lawn sign on your front lawn that says nationallibertyalliance.org. I've got one. So I challenge you people to really start making the statement, put magnetic signs on the door of your car that say National Liberty Alliance, wear baseball caps, T-shirts, stand at the courthouse like a good Quorum observer and pass out the info flyer to recruit members, because the only thing that's going to the only thing that's holding us up is the fact that not enough, quite enough people are on board right now. But that's changing really fast, because I'm getting calls from all over the place from new members saying, I just came on, I'm just on board, can you tell me more about this? So slow and steady wins the race, and the enemy is trying to push buttons to make us do things that will sink ourselves. That's not going to happen. Slow and steady, time is on our side. We don't have time to dick around, but we're not going to do anything stupid to try to push things either. This is a very delicate line we're walking. Be smart, people, and be courageous. And I'd like everybody to send a donation, if they can, $10 maybe, to National Liberty Alliance and tag it Steve's phone account.
I'll tell you what, let's set something up more directly. We'll put the information up on the Courtroom Observers group page, or put it up towards the top or something, and we'll get it going directly there, okay?
Yeah, I've been remiss on my postings, people, and I apologize for that, but I've been hitting the streets, and the Almighty told me, get out, get your boots, get your little shoes on, and walk, and go to the courthouse, go down, hit it. And so I was been a little, I had to step away from the computer, but I can assure you, I'll be back online tomorrow doing some serious posting, and I've got
all
some
right.
choice
well,
work.
If
for
you need to, put together some kind of a small message, we'll send it out in a mass email, and you can post something up on the Courtroom Observer. So, and again, we're going to set up a. This is not the first time this has happened. Nobody has ever been arrested with National Liberty Alliance for what we're doing. We're very, very careful. We're totally lawful. We're right on point. We're doing what has to be done, and we're staying right within the procedures and the processes of law. And this is what's driving us crazy. Eric, hold on a minute. You can pick back up in a second. But this is kind of driving these people crazy. They don't know what to do. We see what's going on in New York. New York judges now are calling for the removal of the grand jury's control from the prosecutors to the judges. So they must be really nervous that they're going to lose support of the prosecutors, because we are talking about the truth here. Nothing we say has anything to do with anything but the truth. And sometimes it may sound harsh, but the truth is harsh, because it is harsh. It's a horrible thing. It's RICO and steroids. There's no polite, nice way to talk about it. We've offered these people olive branches. We still offer them olive branches. Look, we're not here on some kind of a rampage to go after people. We're not doing anything. We're not picking out individuals to say we're going to put them in jail or anything. We're good to forgive anybody who wants to just step on the right side and do the right thing. That's what they should be doing anyway. That's their duty. But instead, they've turned this into a business for themselves. They're making money. They got power and authority. And now they're wondering what to do. Now, what they did do here, and Steve was running for sheriff. I think Eric mentioned that. And that probably plays a role in this thing. Steve is also an American Indian, and he's a National Liberty Alliance coordinator for his state, which I believe is Utah. And also, he's very active, and I'm sure he's active in other groups also. So he became a target. They got him on something that really something else, and then, of course, they're just going to put the pressure on him. Now, we need to do something about this, and we're going to do a habeas corpus. This thing happened, I think, on Thursday. Is that correct, Eric, Thursday?
I believe he was arrested on Friday afternoon is when I got the call,
Friday afternoon.
It happened.
And that would make more sense anyway. So he was arrested on Friday afternoon. What are they doing? They're really putting him in jail to keep him over the weekend. Now, of course, they're tying him in with other things, and they're saying, we're going to really give him a hard time. Well, we could have had the paperwork done and applied into the courts before his court hearing today if we had boots on the ground to take care of the business. And so we have to move quick when something like this happens, because I think if we could have got a paperwork into the courts prior to his hearing, and especially we call for the time at the same time as the hearing is the same time to produce the body and show cause. And so we would try to plan it that way. And so in order to do that, though, we need information. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a small group, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 people. It doesn't matter how many people, but a group of people. And we do have someone that's already volunteered that was an officer of the law for so many years. And he's also got, investigative abilities and experience. So he's probably, and he understands the system a lot better than we do on the inside.
He'd be a good asset.
So someone like that is going to be good for us if he takes the lead on this. And if there are other people that have law enforcement background or investigative background, give me a call tomorrow, maybe about 11, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time at 845-233-6560. That's 845-233-6560. And what those people will do is when we get a call from, and by the way, anybody who's a leader in National Liberty Alliance, you know, be very careful that someone doesn't set you up, because they'll do all kinds of things. And we've talked with people, and, you know, and I believe they've tried to set me up numerous times, I believe. I don't know for sure. But I just don't do stupid things, and I don't go out of the way. I'm focused on what I'm doing, and everything I do, I'm very clear to be on the law, on the side of the law. I've had people offer me huge amounts of money, and I don't take it from them because they're connected. They tell me it's coming from UCC, it's coming from this. I'm not going to touch that kind of stuff. You know, I don't need the money from that bad. Then LA will live without it. We have situations where we just have to be careful, because they will try to set you up if you're an individual in the liberty movement that is doing some damage to them. So anyway, what we're setting up is our plan is, we need to get the information on the arrest information. And we need to get affidavits of all witnesses. We need to get a copy of the signed warrant or an unsigned warrant from the judge, by a judge. And we need to get a copy of that sworn affidavit, all which is required in order to make arrest. Other than that, it's a false arrest. It's kidnapping. And that the beginning of that whole thing just collapses their entire case. The question also becomes, was there a grand jury and indictment? And if there was, to get a true copy of the bill. We need to find a local friend. So everybody should have somebody that, should they get arrested for some reason or another, you know, your friend's going to take care of business. They're going to contact the court of, well, this group that we're going to put together, which will post the contact number up online. We'll send emails out when it's done. But this particular group will be there to start making phone calls and getting information, getting contact with the next friend, a spouse or someone, whoever it was that was arrested. And we will start the paperwork. They'll start collecting the paperwork. They'll start collecting all the information. But we need somebody local to the situation that could actually get the information, maybe go to the court, find out what's going on, get copies of papers, and then also serve papers. We can literally, if we can gather all of the information in 24 hours, within 24 hours after that, the paperwork could be written and on its way. And on the third day, it could be where it has to be. And if there is and they love to arrest people on Thursday and Fridays so that they at least spend time in the weekend, in jail in the weekend. So if we get this stuff moving quick enough, at least we can get people out of jail. We're going to put some heavy-duty pressure on these people because everything they've done was illegal. We can prove a lot of things. One of the things that they did, the individual was a convicted felon from many, many years ago when they were very young. And that in itself was probably a setup from the story we heard. We believe it was. But in any event, what they did is they put a gun. They called officers of the law, I guess FBI agents, who befriended him, went out to a shooting range or someplace to do practice, firearm practice, and they called him up to come with them. And they put a gun in his hand, and that's what he was arrested for, because I guess he took a few shots, and they gave the gun back. Well, it turns out in the same law that they're claiming on their law, their statutes, only a few lines down, I think it was letter G or H, well, D, one of those lines down, we found that there's also a law and a penalty for the individual who supplies a known felon with a gun. That FBI agent put into the hands of what he claims to be a felon, and they call, I'm sure they're calling him a dangerous felon, so they put it in the hands of a felon, and yet he put a lot other people in risk and himself, and he broke the law. So we're going to push that issue also. They want to apply their statutes. They need to apply it to themselves also. But this is the kind of thing people need to be concerned with and careful with. Don't let yourself get set up, okay? And do make sure that you have someone close by that can get the information for you, a contact person that would contact, if something happened to you, they would contact this group would dig out the paperwork and get all the info, and then we'll get into action and do a habeas corpus. I do believe we're going to get them out on a habeas corpus. I don't think they're going to be able to withstand it, and especially the way we're going to apply the lawful pressures in the court. They got to do something. But we'll see where that goes. Did you want to finalize something, Eric?
Yeah, just to show, I think you covered it well. I think we're caught up. If I have anything else that pops in, I think I covered it all. But he's been really mistreated by the way, the ultimate person who should have been able to stop this in that county is Jim Tracy, the high sheriff of, I believe it's Utah County, Utah, the jurisdiction 60 miles from his home that they took him to as a reprisal so he'd be far from his home, and then they stuck him in the jail and told the jailer, Jim Tracy, and his jailer, Sergeant Hansen, do a courtesy hold for us. Did you get that? Have you never heard such an absurd term as courtesy hold on a human being? So there was no charge, and they said don't allow many visitors and put him in general population.
By the way, whoever has this information needs to get this. I don't know if it was by phone call by you or someone else, but whoever has this information needs to do an affidavit with all those things in it, because all those are points that we'll bring up on the habeas corpus.
I've got an excellent affidavit drafted. I just have to get it notarized and then get it off to you. So I'm working on that, but meanwhile, be nice
right, and make sure to look at anybody who's got an affidavit. Once you get it notarized, scan it and email me a PDF copy and then mail the original to National Liberty Alliance and we'll bring them all together. But at least with the copies, we can move on things. It's very important.
There you go. And everybody can always get a hold of any one of us. John, Gerard, Sheila, and Eric all have National Liberty Alliance mail. So it would be John at National Liberty Alliance, Eric at National Liberty Alliance. So there's no way you should not be able to get a hold of us. And my number's posted right there on my bulletin board, Courtroom Observers Group. And I encourage people to get involved because we need to stand behind people like Stephen Dean. He stood with us and they found a little dirt in his past. They exploited it. They found a weak spot. But think about it. Out of the tens of thousands of people, both active members and sitting on the sidelines watching, hundreds of thousands of them, it shows the desperation. They had that's all they could find. One NLA member flopping out there with a felony and try to lure him to a shooting range, hand him your gun, knowing he's a felon in violation of 18 U.S.C. 922 G1, and watch him take a few shots and then show up a few months later to arrest him just at the right time to try to take a nip out of the National Liberty Alliance. But I got news for you. It's going to be very expensive on the system because I know you people out there are going to reactivate, shift gears. We need to go from warp speed to warp 11 and really go turn it up a notch now and show them the power of the National Liberty Alliance, and that if they screw with one of us, they're going to screw with all of us, and we all need
and
to
remember,
find together.
And remember, it's really the power of the people. National Liberty Alliance is a facilitator of knowledge, and again, it's the people power, the people on the grassroots level. But
we need a common law sheriff, and I need as many men out there. We have Robert running in Van Buren, Michigan for common law sheriff. We have a common law sheriff I got a call running in Isabel County, Michigan. We have a gentleman who stepped up in Los Angeles County, and we have Alvin Gonzalez running in the Bronx for sheriff. So this
and
is going to be
Steve epic. Still. Steve's running for sheriff, too. We're going to get him out, and he's going to continue
absolutely.
Running.
Absolutely. As soon as Steve gets out of jail, he's going to be the common law sheriff, and he's going to be living in Jim Tracy's house and owning Marshall Thompson's car. So we all need to make sure this happens. One come all. Jesus said, do it unto the least of my brothers, and you've done it unto me. So I implore you all to stand by him, throw a few bucks in his phone account, send out your paperwork all over it. You don't stop.
Yeah, you know what? On his phone account, if you can get the information, that's probably what you want to post up. Is you want to
post
some information on how to dial in and put money into a – I've done this before, so someone in jail, I called a certain number, and I put in their number, and then I used my credit card, and I moved,
Okay, cool. So everybody out there, don't wait for orders from headquarters. Call, do your own diligence. Call. Don't let anybody take you by the hand.
Okay, but you need to get that information up on your part of the group there over there.
Yeah, I've been running ragged since last Friday trying to take
right,
you know
and then
the organized populist
support.
Send me that
information, and we'll put it out on the email. Let's move on then. Okay, so also we're looking for volunteers that are people who know Excel. We have a lot of information we've got to import into Excel. And so anybody who really knows and understands how to use Excel, maybe they can give me a call tomorrow, too, at around 11, 12 o'clock, 845-229-0250, 845-229-0250. We have to get this work completed, so please, anybody with Excel experience. Okay, also, last week we had a special meeting on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and we offered to do a... a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, and put a lot of weight on the system for people with CPS problems. And, you know, we didn't anticipate necessarily for sure to go through or not. We figured if we get enough people, and we'll do it. And we got overloaded. So we did get a lot of people, got a lot of excitement, a lot of activity going on. And so we've already got 22 volunteers to answer phones and you know, gather the data necessary for the court case. We've already written all the information up on what's necessary. And we're going to have a special meeting again this coming Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the sole purpose of going over paperwork for those who are interested, answering questions, who have people who have questions, and then let everybody know when we're going to start taking this information in. We do need more volunteers. We have 22 or so volunteers already. We need at least 50, one for each state, to gather information as it comes in. And we're doing for the CPS and the APS. The CPS is Child Protective Services, as I'm sure most people know, and the APS is for Adult Protective Services, people elderly usually or people with some kind of a mental deficit or something of that nature. And the system has taken advantage of our old and they've taken advantage of our young. I've been watching this since I've been in this process for years, quite a few years now, and just sick to my stomach on what I see in the family courts. And I've always wanted to do something. I figured, well, that was one of my pet peeves. When we get into power and we the people take the authority on a grassroots level from every county, the people controlling the juries, the grand juries, and making sure that we have honest courts that are applying justice and not this injustice that they've got going right now. Anyway, we do need more volunteers for this. So we need at least 50 to collect the information. And we need to get forward. I've already started writing some papers. I'm talking with people, so we're getting information together and getting more ideas and paperwork. And we're probably going to hammer out a paper in the next week or two. And when we start to apply it in the court, we're not sure yet. We now have to go through a process of intake. And so we need people who will get on those phones to intake that information and bring it into the system so that we can digest it and write these papers. I truly believe this is going to be a slam dunk case, just slam dunk. It is so obvious and it's in their face. It's also going to empower the people here involved with the common law grand juries and also bring it into the light. And everything we do helps to bring these things into the light.
I am why.
Okay, so you're coming through there, Gerard. Okay, so anyway, let's move on. To the next, let's see. We got Carl from New Manor. Is that you, Carl, on the 831 number?
I am here. That is me.
Okay. All right. Carl is a partner of ours. Tell us about your product and what you're doing and whatever you want to explain to the people. Go right ahead.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate being on. I am with New Manor Food Storage, and we've partnered up with NLA because part of being aware, being ready, is being prepared. And knowing what that means is, a litany of things we could get into, but really what I wanted to focus on is the fact that food is a level of security, a level of independence that people take for granted. We live in a resource-rich country. We're very fortunate. I wake up every day very grateful to be in the United States of America. But we take for granted more than anything else our food. It's accessible at levels that it is in no other part of the world. And nothing can really hit home that you don't have access to it faster than it going away. I live in a remote town called Santa Cruz. There are windy roads through mountains to get to this part of the country. There's no in and out access. And when there's a flood or there's a potential earthquake, this entire city could be without food. And, many people don't think about it, but it doesn't take very much for there to be food shortages. Beyond that, it gives you a sense of independence to have food storage when there is an emergency that you don't have to depend on aid or the help of others or dysfunctional bureaucracy or anything like that. You do have the ability to essentially take care of your own, the people around you, via food storage. Now, there are a lot of food storage companies out there. One of the reasons I think the NLA came to us, and Eric, you can attest to this, is our food tastes really good, which is a benefit. But one of the things that makes our food taste very good is we really are thoughtful about what goes into our food. It is made from all natural ingredients. There's no added fillers, no MSG. We have gluten-free options. We also have, we're GMO-free certified. We really are trying to make a thoughtful, wholesome food that emulates essentially the concept of natural food. Why? It's healthy. It's good for your body. It'll give you the energy you need in an emergency. This is a time when you really need to be thoughtful about what you put into your body, and that's one of the reasons why we built the company and built the food product that we offer. And we're really excited to be a part of this because we think what you guys are doing is incredibly important. It's really important for people to understand basically where we come from. And you know, our homesteader mentality, well, it really kind of aligns with your early stage of our country mentality as well, right? I mean, we have made a lot of mistakes to the country, I would say, in taking what our founding fathers did and changing it, and some of it out of ignorance. You know, modernization, technology, things that happen make you willing to try new things. But when we learn that things are bad for you or corrupt, we should be willing to fight to change them. On our side, that has to do with what goes into our bodies. We've really taken for granted that a lot of man-made things aren't good for us, and a lot of the health problems people are having might be because we're eating a lot more things we made instead of things that were made for us and provided for us. So really, that's
okay, well,
everything
one of the
I want to share
wanna,
with you guys today.
One of the things you might want to cover is the cost factor because, you know, a lot of people
think you
have to spend a lot of money on this stuff, but, you know, you can plan it very, carefully. But go ahead.
I apologize. John brings up something we mentioned discussing earlier, which is a good point, but I got so caught up in what they were talking about. Forgot about it temporarily, but thank you for reminding me. I wanted to share with you guys a story of basically how I got into food storage, because when I first started thinking about preparedness and self-reliance, one of the things that concerned me was, you know, the high cost of preparing for a family of five. And, you know, my brothers are in town, and I'm sure they're not preparing, so we're talking about potentially 10 or 11 people that I might have to take care of in case of an emergency. Well, what I decided to do was just buy a bucket at a time. And over the course of about a year and a half, I ended up getting my whole supply. I doubled up a little bit at the end. But basically what I did was I just bought a bucket every month and then every paycheck, and it worked out really well. What was the real benefit was I was increasing my amount of food storage without really affecting my budget, and it was almost forgettable in the sense that I didn't notice the cost. Why? A bucket of food really only costs about $150, depending on the size, to $300, right? So $150 for a small 72-serving bucket, $240 to $300 for a 150-200-serving bucket. And that's about, you know, 3 weeks to a month's worth of food for a family of four or five, which, when you think about it, that's 2-3 meals a day for 30 days. That's a lot of food for $250. If you do it that way, you know, you don't notice it as much. You budget for it. You don't really notice a hit as if you're buying several thousand dollars worth of food. But since you're not using it, since it is actually a resource, what happens is, much like any other resource that you're not using, you start to get a larger, you know, stack. You start to get more and more buckets. And before you know it, like me, I have a 3-year supply of food now. I could not go out and spend that kind of money on food. But because I already did it, it's there and ready for me in the future. But like I said, $150 a month, $250 a month, is all it takes to really start preparing and build up your resources.
Okay, thanks a lot, Carl. I appreciate it. And, okay, we'll move on. Anything else? Is that final?
No, that's it. I appreciate you guys' time. Like I said, I'm really excited to be working with you guys, and I hope we can see great things together. And if you ever want to, if anyone ever has any questions or anything, they can just reach out to you guys or reach out to us through you.
Right, yeah, we have a link on the right side of our website. You'll see a banner there, and you can click on that and go to the website and order, and you should also find a phone number if you want to call and talk. And again, you know, National Liberty Alliance, we mentioned this before, we're not just out here selling anything. We are looking for ways to support what we're doing, because what we're doing is starting to really get very expensive. And so we need ways to support National Liberty Alliance's efforts and keep things up and going. And one of the ways was to supply and offer good products, and products that are logical, products that make sense to the liberty movement, and that's food and money. The first things that came into my mind, food and money. And we found a good place for food, and we found a good place for money. We're talking real money, gold and silver, and you'll see the link on the right side again. And every time you buy from either of these, of course, we benefit, and all of the proceeds goes to keeping NLA afloat and going forward. If we find some other appropriate products, we will put them up there. But again, we're not in the business of business. We're just in the business of liberty, and we do need money to keep things going. And also remember, you know, everybody should be donating maybe $5 a month. If everybody donated $5 a month, we'd have plenty of money. So $5 a month would be really ideal, or more. Just go to our site, nationallibertyalliance.org, right side, click on the donation button, and donate whatever you can, but $5 a month is good. Okay. Tonight's
hey, John,
topic is...
one last thing. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
One last thing. I am an Excel wizard, so just reach out to me after the show.
Okay. Can you give me a call tomorrow at 11?
Can I give you a call around 11? Yeah,
well, I'll tell you what. Let me write your number down. What time, what
air,
time is it?
Air's
you're on
3 hours.
Huh?
Air's coming number.
Well, I see your number out here, too, anyway. It's an 831 number, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so let me just write your number down. After the program, I'll give you a call, because I'll be talking with someone else that knows Excel, and maybe you know as much or more than him, and we can figure easy ways to do what it is that we have to do. Okay?
Any help you need, I'm willing to help out.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, all right. Let me move
have
on.
Have a good night,
thanks
everyone.
A
God
lot,
bless.
Paul. Okay, and hang out for the program. Okay. All right. Tonight's topic is going to be authority. Once we get through that, we'll open the phones up for questions, comments, and discussions. Again, all of our topics are important. If you've missed any of our topics, only recently have we started uploading and putting a topic on our papers, you know, on our recordings. So if you go up to nationallibertyalliance.org, and you click on the weekly call on the far left. Everybody pretty much should know where that's at, especially those in the room here. You click on the weekly call, and you come down, and you'll see all of the MP3s. We've been, for 2 years of MP3s, we've had meetings every Monday, and we haven't missed any. The last 7 weeks, we've had topics. Tonight's topic, as I mentioned, is authority. We had sheriffs, mandamus, and bills of exchange. We discussed them, the county sheriff and the U.S. Marshal. We also talked about Article III courts. We talked about the de facto versus the de jure. We talked about the principles of law and the King's Bench. We've talked about unalienable rights. We talked about jurisprudence last week, and this week it's going to be authority. Now, anybody who's trying to get educated and be able to work through the courts, you need to go back and listen to these tapes, at least the first hour of the program. I mean, the rest of it, of course, is questions and answers. That's interesting, too. But again, get the meat and potatoes of our meetings, which is the topics, because this is what you need to know to win in the courts. This is what you need to know to be able to defend yourself, to understand. Knowledge is power. As Jefferson said, if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Okay, so again, tonight's topic, authority. If you want to get a copy of the paper we're going to be looking at, go out and click on media on the blue bar. Just click on media, or you can click on court filings, one or the other. And if you come down a little bit way, you will see a list of items, the three items that we're filing in the federal courts, and then a list of papers that we've been writing. Anybody who is studying the law, and of course we give a free civics course. Right up on the blue bar, click civics course and take the free course. It's 120 hours. You'll be blown away by the knowledge you're going to get there about our founding fathers, true history, common law, where it came from, how the jury works. I mean, just all kinds of great stuff. How did we get to where we're at today? We cover all of that in our civics course. And it's very informative, very in-depth, and very factual. We've got documentaries up there that are impeccable. So again, the civics course, free course, just click on it and take the course, no cost at all. We do ask people, again, donate $5 a month. It pays for all this stuff. Okay, now right underneath what we filed in the courts, you'll see something that says PDFs and words. And it basically is the papers defining important legal terms and positions. And you have to have knowledge to be able to go into court, and these things will assist you in the court. And again, we have a paper for all of our earlier lessons in past weeks on the different topics. There's a paper up here for every one of them. But tonight is authority. And by the way, we put it in PDF and Word. PDF so that everybody can take it if they don't have Word processor. But Word most importantly, because if people have Word and you open up the Word program, you'll have all the footnotes and everything, and it's an easy, you can just kind of take it, save it to your desktop, and you can use a lot of this paperwork, cut and paste, and put it into your court case and build a case. We also have a paper up on here on how to write a case, we just have a lot of stuff up here. People need to go through this very, very carefully, and so you can look at our court of record example, which is how to write a case, and a lot of the information you want to put in your case is coming from these papers. And you could do cut and paste. We have tremendous amounts of authorities, and tonight's focus is authorities. So let's get started on that, and we'll open up the phones. Authorities, a memorandum of law. The purpose of this memorandum is to clarify the authority by which we, the people, act upon, the process we executed, and the process we intend to proceed upon. The United States Supreme Court cases Boyd versus the United States in 1922 proclaimed the remedy of today's problems when they said, "It is the duty of the court to be watchful for encroachments against constitutional rights." Olmsford versus the United States. The court said further, decency, serenity, and liberty alike demand that government officials shall be subjected to the same rules of conduct that are commanded to the citizens. In a government of laws, the existence of the government will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Our government is the potent and omnipresent teacher. For good or for ill, it teaches the whole people by its example. Crime is contagious. If a government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself. It invites anarchy to declare that in the administration of the criminal law, the end justifies the mean. To declare that government may commit crimes would bring terrible retribution. Against that pernicious doctrine, this court should resolutely set its face. And again, that was Boyd versus the United States. The present-day jury system has been seized by our servants that created a deceptive facade used to empower themselves and not the people. Bar schools teach judges and attorneys that statutes of men far removed from the people overrule the law of the land, while both prosecutors and judges impose their will upon judicially ignorant people as they require juries to interpret statutes as law without the opportunity of nullify. Whereas common law requires that the jury should judge both law and facts, bar attorneys are true believers that the people are incompetent in law when in fact they are more so. Thomas Jefferson said, "I know of no safer depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." He also said, "Enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of the republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all of its citizens." And they have removed that from our education. They do not teach us civics. They do not teach us about the Constitution. They do not teach us how to get into the courts and the process and the true political process. They don't teach us any of it. So that was exactly the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. It was around that, right there, those statements by Jefferson, which really caused the National Liberty Alliance to become to be what it is, and that is a facilitator of knowledge and truth. People need to pick up that knowledge, pick up that truth, and then pick up in their own local areas and fulfill their duty to make sure that these people obey the law. And we have a plan for that. Get involved. In Chapter 6 of Lysander Spooner, let me make sure I'm on the right page here. Did I skip a page? I think I did. Okay, a citizen, yeah. But our servants in government have deceitfully removed the education of self-government, whose motive can only be more power. Therefore, we the people across the nation are self-educating in order to perform our duty and save our nation. We reject any servant who arrogantly claim the people incompetent and that only they know what is best for us. We need to remind you, we have government by the consent of the people and not by the consent of our servants and of your bar. The people, through the United States Constitution, gave no legislative authority to codify the administration of the jury. Common law requires that juries be chosen from an unfiltered pool from among the people, by the people. The people, when debating the body of the Constitution, after discussion concerning the jury in the Anti-Federalist Papers, deliberately left out the said authority out of the body and then, by design, included unfettered authority by the people in the Bill of Rights as expressed in the 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendments, making clear the right of the people to administer to the jury for the trying of the people and not the government servants. Bar lawyers will then say the Bill of Rights for the federal courts only. But this is where the bar schools, for treasonous reasons I can only conclude, failed again by not teaching the law of the land, also known as the Supremacy Clause, which is as follows. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in the pursuant thereof, and of the treaties made of that which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. United States Constitution, Article 4. I believe that was Section 2, or Paragraph 2. Therefore, common law is expressed in the supreme law of the land, whereas statutes that control the behavior and powers of the people are expressed in repugnant statutes that are null and void. Marbury versus Madison. It is the actions of our servants that are without lawful support, and that which you claim is legal and lawful. The assumption that anyone but our servants forming grand juries would lead to chaos and anarchy is both unfounded, self-serving, and treasonous. The idea that the legislators has established the method and process of forming grand juries and that the remedy of the people is the corrupt ballot box is also absurd and fraudulent. Lysander Spooner, Authority of Trial by Jury, clearly a favorite read by past and present United States Supreme Court justices, in Chapter 5 said, "The powers of the jury are not granted to them by the people themselves, on the supposition that they know the law better than the justices, but on the grounds that the justices are untrustworthy, that they are exposed to bribes, are themselves fond of power and authority, and are also dependent and subservient creatures of the legislature, and that to allow them to dictate the law would not expose the right of the parties to be sold for money, but would equivalent to surrendering all of the property, liberty, and rights of the people unreservably into the hands of arbitrary power, the legislators, to dispose of it at its pleasure." In Chapter 6, Lysander Spooner said, "The term jury is a technical one derived from the common law, and when the American Constitutions provided for the trial by jury, they provided for the common law trial by jury, and not merely for a trial by jury that the government itself may chance to invent and call it by name. It is the thing and not merely the name that is guaranteed. Any legislation, therefore, that infringes any essential principles of the common law in the selection of jurors is unconstitutional, and the juries selected in accordance with such legislation are, of course, illegal, and their judgment void. Therefore, the juries of the present day, illegal. The powers of juries, therefore, not only place a curb upon the powers of the legislators and the judges, but imply also an imputation upon their integrity and trustworthiness, and these are the reasons why legislators and judges have formerly entertained the intense hatred of juries, and so fast as they could do it without alarming the people for their liberties, have by indirection denied, undermined, and practically destroyed their power, and it is only since all the real power of juries was destroyed and they have been mere tools in the hands of legislators and judges, that they have become favorites with them. A common law jury, therefore, ensures to us what no other court does, that first, the indispensable requisite in a judicial tribunal, integrity. And in Chapter 7, Lysander Spooner said, the principles of Chapter 28 of the Magna Carta, as applicable to the government of the United States of America, forbids that any officer appointed either by the executive or legislative power, or dependent upon them for their salaries, or responsible to them by impeachment, should preside over a jury in criminal trials. To have the trial illegal, that is, by common law, the true trial by jury, the presiding officer must be chosen by the people. And be entirely free from all dependence upon and all accountability to the executive and legislative branches of government. Therefore, the foreman of the jury is properly the presiding officer, so far as there is such an officer at all. Our intention is to bring justice back into the people out of control, people's out of control courts that is destructive to the America envisioned by our founding fathers. Therefore, the authority by which we act is in fact our inalienable rights, and in fact founded in and that we the people are the posterity of our founding fathers, the inheritors of the documents that created the government that you serve in, and we resent the attitude that the people are not capable of self-government. Whereas we read in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with uncertain, unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that is the key, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. If we didn't give them the power, they don't have it. And they do a lot of they wield a lot of power that we never gave them. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to this end, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying in foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Therein is the people's rights. And it is the duty to alter that which is destructive to our safety and happiness by returning to common law juries and common law courts as it is written in the Constitution for the 50 United States of America. This is further realized in the preamble of our Constitution when it is the people that ordained and established the law when we read, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And with these absolutes, we further submit the following authorities by which the judges in every state shall be bound. The authority of the people to form and administer a grand jury, petit jury, is an inalienable rights, protected and secured by the 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendments, whereas we read, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Miranda versus Arizona. The state cannot diminish the rights. Hurtado versus the people of the state of California. All laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Marbury versus Madison. In most state constitutions, an impartial jury is guaranteed. Obviously, when the government administers to the jury, it can no longer be considered impartial but tainted. How can it be when the government seeking conviction by government-paid lawmakers, government-paid judges, government-paid prosecutors, and government-controlled juries that they call the jury impartial? In the case of the United States versus Williams, 1992, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, said, this court case relying upon the power deals strictly with the court's control over their own procedures, whereas the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, citing Hannah versus Lachey. Justice Anton Scalia continued, courts neither preserve nor enhance the traditionally functioning of the grand jury, that the common law fifth of the Fifth Amendment demands The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institution of government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. Justice Anton Scalia continued, although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse and under the judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. The grand jury's functional independence from the judicial branch is evident both in its scope and its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing, and in the manner in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or controversy, the grand jury can investigate merely on the suspicion that a law is being violated, or even because it wants the assurance that it's not. The grand jury need not identify the offenders as suspects or even the precise nature of the offense it is investigating. The grand jury requires no authorization from its constituted courts to initiate or investigate, nor does the prosecutor require leave of a court to seek a grand jury indictment. The grand jury, in its day-to-day functioning, generally operates without the interference of a presiding judge. The grand jury swears in its own witnesses, deliberates in total secrecy. We have insisted that the grand jury remain free to pursue its investigations unhindered by external influences or supervision so long as it does not trench upon the legitimate rights of any witnesses that it calls before it. Recognizing this tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. We have said that certain constitutional protections afford defendants in criminal proceedings have no application before the grand jury. We have twice suggested that, but though not held, that the Sixth Amendment right to counsel does not attach when an individual is summoned to appear before a grand jury, even if he is the subject of the investigation. In conclusion, Justice Anton Scalia said, giving the grand jury's operational separateness from the constitutional court, it comes to no surprise that we have been reluctant to invoke the judicial supervisory power as a basis for prescribing modes of grand jury procedures. Over the years, we have received many requests to exercise supervision over the grand jury's evidence-taking process, but we have refused them all. We've declined to enforce the hearsay rule in grand jury proceedings, since that would run counter to the whole history of the grand jury's institution in which laymen conduct their inquiries unfettered by technical rules. Hume calls the trial by jury an institution admirable in itself and the best calculated for the preservation of liberty and the administration of justice that was ever devised by the wit of man. Therefore, we, the people, affirm and proclaim the unalienable right to consent or deny the actions of our elected servants to the common law grand jury as the founders provided in the 4th, 5th, and the 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendments. As Justice Anton Scalia put it, the grand jury is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. It is a constitutional fixture of its own right. In fact, the whole theory is that its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer between the government and the people. We, the people, demand that tyrant servants step aside. In August 2014, we, the people, completed the reconstituting of the common law grand juries in all 50 United States, thereby unifying and establishing a presence in every state as we continue to organize every county in America. Because we know that only the people can save America from the destruction intended by a small minority that have subverted our government at every level, we therefore filed the following documents with the state courts, which read, Declaration. We, the people of each of the American counties, by the mercy and grace of God, having blessed us with the unalienable right of the people as grand juries, secured by the Fifth Amendment of the Bill of Rights for the United States of America, in order to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity by the securing of natural law, do ordain and establish these grand juries, principled under justice, honor, and grace, for a perpetual administration of trust on behalf of the people. On whatever date the people in each of the counties of each state constituted a grand jury by electing to establish the people's jury to be filed with the county clerk and the court clerk. This declaration, by consent of the people, shall be sufficient for the establishment of this grand jury, presented to the people and to the recording with the county clerk and the Supreme Court on whatever days those were done. A lot of places we haven't completed doing that, but we're going to get back to that. But anyway, only because they're rejecting it. But 2014 when we did this. But anyway, in 238 year of the independence of the United States of America, by witness, hereby by three, a seal, three lines for witnesses, constitution of a common law grand jury, in so much as for the sake of God, for the bettering of our sovereignty, and for the more ready healing of the discord which has arisen between us and our civil servants, wishing to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and secure the blessings of liberty, to enjoy forever in its entirety, that the people may select at their pleasure 25 people from the sovereignty who ought with all their strength to observe, maintain, and cause to be observed the peace and the unalienable rights. If any of our civil servants shall have transgressed against any of the people in any respect, and they ask us to cease that error, cause that error to amend without delay, or shall have spoken some one of the articles of peace or security, broken some one of the articles of peace or security, and their transgression shall have been sworn to four jurors of the aforesaid 25, and if those four jurors are unable to settle the transgression, they shall come to the 25, showing to the grand jury the error, which shall be enforced by the law of the land. Magna Carta, June 15, 1215 A.D. Duty of the grand jury. If anyone's unalienable rights have been violated or removed without legal sentence, or that it appears from a lands, homes, liberties, or lawful rights, we, the 25, shall straightway restore them. And if a dispute shall arise this matter, it shall settle according to the judgment of the 25 grand jurors, the jurors of peace. Magna Carta, June 15, A.D., 1215 A.D. Authority of the Common Law Grand Jury. No person shall be held to answer for a capital otherwise infamous crime, unless by a presentment or an indictment by a grand jury, nor shall a person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life and limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Bill of Rights, Fifth Amendment. And that's the end of the declaration, and coming to the end of the paper. This right of declaration of self-rule was rejected by our arrogant servants who think that they are our masters. This is the people's peaceful revolution to take back the republic. America stands at the precipice, and if our hired servants who have taken hold of our house of justice continues to resist, thereby preventing the only institution capable of solving her problems, the people will not give up their liberty and are willing to give their lives for justice and their posterity. The people come with an olive branch, and to the alternative will meet force with equal force. President Kennedy said, "A revolution is coming, a revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough. But a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can affect its character, we cannot alter its inevitability." This great fallen hero and martyr, before giving his life, went on to say, "Those who make peaceful revolutions impossible will make violent revolutions inevitable. It is at this precipice we stand today. It is for this purpose we are here today, and we resolutely set our face, and by the grace of our God, we will succeed today." It has taken the people 50 years to realize and react to President Kennedy's warning of the revolution that unfolds before us. As we stand at the precipice that will decide the fate of America, this court action is our peaceful and compassionate response in an endeavor to positively affect its character. end of the paper. Now, this was a memorandum of law that's been written. It's the authorities, and we have not filed this yet. We're going to use this in some of the future cases, probably as a reference to a memorandum of law, but maybe we'll insert it completely into case. I don't know. But a lot of information in this paper can be used in your own cases, should you be fighting, especially in the federal courts, but they can be used in any court. Okay, that brings us to the end of our look at authorities tonight. I got one question that came in by email. Matter of fact, this came a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of didn't bring it up last week. So,
John, where did you say that was posted? That thing you just read
that
is posted.
That paper is posted on just the blue line, second tab says media. Click on media. And when you get to that page, you'll see as you come down PDF and Word, and you'll see a list under PDF and a list under Word. Everything on this page should be totally digested, and people should know these things. This is just filled with dripping with truth and power and authorities and the process of law that can be used. They can't argue these things. They can't argue again. They will not argue them. They'll try to steamroll you, and if you understand how the court system works, you can turn that around and put the pressure right back on them, and you'll squeeze them into a position of having to deal with you. So that's what the people have to do. They have to learn how to do this. And if you don't know, they're going to walk all over us. We have to educate ourselves. We have to get this stuff back into schools and educate our children, and then liberty will truly ring again in America. Okay, here's an email question from someone named Tyler. He asked, I'm a brand new member, and as I read through the sample cases I downloaded from the website, I have to admit that I was a little shocked at how harsh some of the language is towards the system that has become the daily livelihood and purpose of so many. The judges, clerks, officers, etc., have also, to some extent, been victims of our dysfunctional educational system. Couldn't we be just as assertive but not so aggressive? We want them to end up on our side after all, don't we? Even if there is a learning process they have to go through, I would hope that our language would not be so offensive as to put them off completely or to put them firmly on the defense. We have spoken in very nice language, and even when the truth is hard to take and swallow, and the truth is harsh. The truth of the matter is, look at what's going on in the courts, RICO on steroids. That's what's going on in the courts. How do you politely ask them to stop ripping the people off, fleecing the people, killing our children, killing the elderly, destroying our families, destroying America, and just getting rich and more powerful? How do you politely ask them to not do it? I mean, we have tried to the best we could. We have offered them that we're here for mercy. We're not out on a witch hunt. We don't care about your past sins. We've told them that in papers. We do not care about their past sins. Read the writ of quo warranto. We don't care about their past sins as long as they do the right thing now. And they refuse. The writ of quo warranto has been around. It was filed on November 10, 2014, and they have said nothing. They are in contempt of court. Now, the only reason we haven't processed along is because we're still somewhat organized. We're ready to go very, very soon now. In the next week, I think, hopefully, we're going to be ready to start filing paper after paper and start putting the pressure on these people. But you know what? You know, the truth is hard, the truth is harsh, and there's no nice, simple way to do it. But we even in this paper we wrote here, we offered the olive branch. Just do the right thing. We're all good. We'll work with you, you know? But it's up to them. And right now, they refuse. They're silent. We have notified every court in America. We have filed in all 94 United States Supreme Courts, Article III courts. And that they are, no matter who tells you anything, they are Article III courts. They can be nothing else but. And any time they move that court into a foreign process and procedure and jurisdiction, they are guilty of kidnapping, and they can go to jail for 20 years. And we need to remind them of, let them know it, and let them understand there is no immunity when you violate the people, when you have the authority and took that oath and swore to uphold it, the Constitution, and then you went and used it to make money for filthy lucre's sake. They went out, it's RICO on steroids. There's no nice way to say it. So if there was, we will try our best to be nicer. And again, you know, we talk about, you know, knowledge. We talk about justice. We want to be just. We don't want to be unjust. We talk about honor. We want to be honorable. And we talk about mercy. Who talks about mercy? We talk about mercy. You don't hear that anymore. You certainly don't hear it in government. You don't hear it in courts. You don't hear it anywhere. But we, the people, right here, through the National Liberty Alliance, we're teaching mercy. And we have to consider mercy in every case. And if we don't, then woe is us. No matter how evil the person may be, and whatever the crime they committed, no matter how repugnant, at the end of the day, before you finalize, you must discuss the idea, can we offer any mercy here? And you have to be honest. You know, I'm sure there are cases where the answer is absolutely, no, we can't. I'm sorry, we can't. But, you know, every case is different, has its own degrees, and that's why only the people can decide cases, because legislators can't figure that stuff out. They're hardcore. You do this, you get 5 years for that. And they have nothing to do with real law. It's all about controlling your behavior. It has nothing to do with protecting us and protecting society. It has nothing to do with that. And yet they can't. Their mercy doesn't even come into their play there. We need to bring mercy back into the courts, but we also need to bring in justice, and we need to bring in honor. And we've discussed this in the past. The word justice is synonymous with virtue. You cannot separate the two. And the virtues comes from God, and you read about it in the Holy Bible. What are virtues? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely. Think on these things. That's the virtues of God. Being honorable, just, and merciful. Humble, and so on. Okay, with that, I've come to the end of this. Let me see if I have anything else we want to make a mention of before we open up the...
I got two things.
Gerard? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have two things. Although I did get a question from Shake and Wake, and I'm not going to get really involved in that question. I mean, this particular question has to do with a girl where she got arrested for not showing her ID, and they refused to show her theirs, refused to give her ID, and they had some officer that wasn't an arresting officer sign the summons. And she wanted to know, you know, how do I get their name? They handcuffed me and held me in jail until a friend brought my high school ID card. This is the abuses that they do, and they are bound to show you their ID. And technically, I don't know, what did they arrest you for? It was probably baloney. They probably had no probable cause. Basically, what you're looking at is you have grounds for a lawsuit. However, you know, you have to be able to know how to do those things. You're going to have to, you know, do it in common law. And you have to study, and it's very hard to do. It's a hard thing to do. I would still try to get their IDs, you know, and some kind of paperwork in to resist. Is all.
Yeah, and by the way, under our books and essays tabs, we have court access courses.
Right.
But that's not sufficient enough unless you take our civics course. And even that's all of that together still isn't sufficient enough unless you read the media page and look at all these papers. These papers are written for the purpose to use these things in courts. And we also have to, especially those of us who are leaders, we have to decide on where we're going to draw the battle line. I'm certainly not going to draw the battle line when a cop stops me on the road. I'm not going to give that cop a hard time. I'm going to say, yes, sir, no, sir. I'm going to give him my driver's license. He doesn't deserve it. I mean, he shouldn't be doing this, but he doesn't understand that. I'm not going to make a war in the streets with the cop. I'm going to submit to him at that purpose so I can go on my way. I will tell you, this is absolute truth, more than 50% of the time, and I get stopped from time to time, more than 50% of the time of my being stopped, I'm let go without anything. Because I'm nice to the guy, I'm polite, I'm courteous, I'm cooperative, and I just don't give them a hard time. Now, if I'm going to fight him, I'm going to fight him in court. I'm going to fight him with the judge. And I always do present the fight and the battle in the court. If I see the court isn't going anywhere, then I got to decide, am I going to continue to waste my time or should I set this aside for another day? My decision for me is I'm going to set it aside for another day. I do have a folder with quite a few cases that I'm going to unfold and bring back out, and I'm going to do it collectively. I'm going to sue all these judges, all these people, all at the same time, and I'm going to take everything I can from them, but I ain't got the time right now. Maybe when we get to the other side, if they're still in the country. But nevertheless, the bottom line is you got to figure out where you want to make your battle. Do you want to make your battle from a jail cell? Because that's where you may end up. They may be trying to set you up when they stop you to question you for a ticket or you know, some violation or something. Just be careful. Be polite. But again, you figure out what you want to do. But you'll never beat these people unless you understand the things that we're teaching. You have to understand jurisdiction. You have to understand all these things we've been teaching. You have to know jurisprudence and understand that. You have to know your right to practice law. You have to know your rights in general. You have to understand that summary proceedings are null and void. You can't allow them to do a summary proceeding. You don't have to answer anything in the court without an indictment. Fifth Amendment says, I don't have to answer anything. You got to leave me alone, and I'm walking away. You flip out a paper and show me that you got a true bill from a grand jury. Now I'm committed to answer. Till then, go away. Okay. Unfortunately, the grand juries are tainted. They're not valid. And just about any case up there, it's a problem. It's a major problem because we do have criminals in jail. We don't want to let them out. But it's a major problem. We have a lot to fix when we the people get back in authority and take control in our counties on the grassroots levels within our courthouses and therefore across America. That's when we'll start to roll up our sleeves and fix America, because there's a lot of fixing to do. And we the people can do it if we so decide. This is the purpose of our movement. This is what we're all about. This is what we're doing. And we're going to start picking up the championship. We're going to start championing certain issues, like the children. It's time to champion the children. We're not going to wait till we get in power now. We're going in, and we're going after these people. And we're going to ask for jail time for these judges that have destroyed all these lives. They know what they're doing. And that's the other thing. If there's anything we discovered, the judges know. The clerks, they're this way or that way, and we're not really pushing anything heavy on clerks anyway, because they're, again, just as dumb as we were. But the judges, they know exactly what's going on. I can guarantee you the state judges and the federal judges know exactly what's going on. The town judges, the city judges, the village judges, they're just well-trained. Some of them may know. Most of them are just really dumb as a box of rocks. So, you know, we got to figure out where we're going to draw a line. I say let's draw a line in the courts with what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. Let's take our nation back. That's where we need to put our time. And remember, any court case that you set aside, there is no such thing as a statute of limitations in common law, because in common law there are no statutes. So, anyway.
Well, the other thing I want to say is a lot has to do with your attitude and your confidence and how you answer the questions. One of the reasons you're getting away, John, is because that police officer is gauging you to see how you react, and he feels this guy knows something more than the average person. You have to give them your ID. The Supreme Court has ruled on that. It's best just to give it to you. You could ask them, am I the subject of an investigation? And then you give it and you give it. But when you start asking questions like that, he knows you know something. You know what I mean? You never consent to them searching your car. And you keep saying,
right,
am I free to go?
Right, that will never happen, yes.
And you say, am I free to go? Matter of fact, you get out and you lock the freaking door. He cannot stop you from doing that. And he can't search your car unless he has probable cause. So if you conduct yourself courteously but in a firm manner, and it sounds like you know the law, 9 times out of 10, the police don't want to get involved with that. They want easy targets. So if they think you know something and they think that you're able to conduct yourself and you're articulate, they generally end up backing down and saying, have a nice day. But, you know, that's just – and it's hard for women, you know, especially. Anyway,
especially
I think
– young
that,
women.
Yes, because they're trying to intimidate and impress, and only God only knows what else. We have another big thing that I want to bring up before we go into the questions. And somebody actually sent me an email on it, but we've been discussing it all week. And that is this action. And this actually, this email came from Constitutional Preservation. Bagnarik put it out. And I got it through Marjorie Kimberly and a couple other people on National Liberty Alliance. And this is this exercise that they're going to do throughout the West. Jade Helm, it's called. And if you're not familiar with it, you should get familiar. And this is another one that we have to get together, especially the people that are in those states. And Michael Bagnarik has a list of all the states and cities that are targeted for this thing to happen. And it's very easy for those towns and counties just to tell the Fed no. And that would be the end of that. You see, they're offering them money. And so, you know, you have to call them up, and whoever is the mayor or whatever the town, you have to tell him that he needs to resend any permission that they gave, send any money back, and that this is a violation of their oath of office. You know, and basically, you know, Bagnarik says, listen, he said, try to imagine a street gang that has announced they plan to practice raping your teenage daughters this weekend. They're not going to actually rape them, but mind you, but this is just going to be a practice run. I mean, he's being
facetious. What are they practicing for?
Well, that's what he says. Before you start wondering when I became so swift and sick and twisted, he said, humor me for a few more moments. And he said, shouldn't I be asking myself, you know, why they're practicing now so they can maximize the trauma when they've decided that they've had enough practice? Logic dictates that you only practice the things that you plan to execute later. Which brings me to Jade Helm 15, which is the Army's plan to practice controlling and restraining the general public. Why would the Army practice controlling the public unless they have every intention of doing so for real? I have procrastinated in writing this newsletter because I didn't want to do a sloppy job on an issue that is so very, very dangerous. There are many patriots who are already getting prepared for an all-out civil war, which is exactly what it will be if American civilians are forced to take up arms to protect themselves from the very government entrusted with practicing their life, liberty, and property. Jade Helm is scheduled to take place between July 15th and September 15th this summer. It is a challenging 8-week joint military and interagency IA, unconventional warfare, UW, these are the abbreviations I use, exercise conducted throughout Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and Colorado. One of the things the military planners have right is showing Texas as a hostile territory because they labeled the states. Brown is hostile and green is friendly. Why do you think Don't Mess with Texas bumper stickers are still so popular decades after the anti-litter campaign was discontinued? I'm not sure if it's possible in the 3 months left before the realistic military training is scheduled to begin, but I hope we can convince the military that Texas is so hostile to the idea that they cancel this training altogether. And he says, I don't expect you to be convinced. And he gives a couple of links to go to the Army site, look at the documents, you know, that the Army has put out. The Army admits they have faced a lot of resistance to this exercise, and they allege that alarmists like me are overreacting to this ordinary military exercise. Article in the Army Times and Stars and Stripes both foo-foo the idea that Jade Helm is anything but a general that the general public should be concerned about. Both articles seem to suggest that because the UASASOC document doesn't give details about who or why civilians would be detained, then of course we shouldn't worry about it. Everyone knows the government would never lie to us. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing. He does have a list in the Texas cities that will be involved, and they're listed in this email. Maybe we can post this on our site. And he also has a web page with contact information for local officials involved. So it's a very good email. I don't know. Maybe we could get it out to people or at least send them to – I subscribe to his newsletter, so I get some of this stuff.
By the way, Michael Bodnarik is one of our constitutional teachers here at National Liberty Alliance. We use his videos to teach the Constitution. And we have two courses in there, but in any event, he's one of them.
Right. So I'm gonna end with that. Everybody should educate themselves, and especially people that live out in that area should get the numbers and make the calls. I mean, we can even make them from here. You know, they might as well know the whole country's upset. You know, I notice one thing in this country. They start everything new out west, and then they bring it across to the east. They always practice. When new math came out, I was in Arizona. They put it in Arizona first, and by the time I got to New York, it was here, and it was junk. Was junk there, and it was more junk when it was here. So everything that starts in California and Arizona and Colorado, all that, eventually makes its way across to New York. So believe you me, they'll be practicing in New York and Connecticut next. Okay, I'm gonna yield now, John. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right, we're going to open up the phones now to anybody who has a question or a comment. Again, anybody that is on the radios listening, we're streamed a few places, some live and some we'll carry it at a later time. But if you're on the radio and you're listening in and it's our Live time is Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from 9 to midnight. And the phone number to call in is 605-562-3140. That's 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698, 385-698. We'll take our first question here. So let's see in the queue. Dave from California, go right ahead. And anybody who wants to get into the queue, star six to get into the queue. Dave from California.
Okay, thank you, John. You may have seen the feature on television in Florida, Fox 35, about the NLA.
Yes, we saw that.
Oh, okay, well, I'm sure you've already thought about this, but we're considering inviting you or anybody else to contact the New York affiliate of Fox Network to have a rebuttal interview. I'm sure you may have already thought of that.
Yeah, we thought about that. We've been so busy. We got so many things going on. That is one of the things on the back burner. We do want to do a rebuttal. We're not going to go chase New York. We're going to take it right where it's at. There was 35 Fox down in Florida. So we'll take it down there to Florida, Fox 35. And we'll just, you know, help to, we'll be very polite, and we'll just let them know the rest of the information that they didn't get. So hopefully, I understand they have to air it, that rebuttal. So we'll send it in.
Okay, and next I wanted to send all my respects and congratulations to everybody who's running for constitutional sheriff in their counties. I'm just very proud of them.
Right. Anybody else that wants to run for constitutional sheriff under the common law, you know, you can get a hold of, I think right now Eric is still handling that. Maybe he will continue to handle that. But we'll set something up special. We will support and help and do everything we can to get the word out on those elections for anybody that wants to run under common law. But we're going to have strict rules. We don't want to get burnt again. We don't want politicians. We want statesmen. If you're interested in being a statesman and you're interested in bringing this country back to its beginnings and its foundation from where we started, which is common law, if that's your interest, then you're a statesman, and let's talk about truth, and let's talk about honor, and let's talk about justice, and let's talk about really going on, and let's not get into the politics at all. We don't want to deal with the politics. We'll deal with the political process, but not the politics. He said, she said, and so on and so forth. No, it's let's get common law in focus. And this will also push National Liberty Alliance effort. And, of course, our effort is really to get the people empowered in every county by forming administrators, four administrators for every county that will be the investigative body for the common law grand juries within their county. And it will be their job to call the juries up and to bring them into being and have them to do decisions on investigations that you or the sheriff or someone else has done. And also to call the trial jury and prevent the judge from jury tampering. Every time that judge talks to that jury, that's years in jail, because that's jury tampering. So we got to make that clear once we get common law back into play. Anything
absolutely
else, Dave?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing I wanted to share was that I am in the process of forming an exploratory committee for a de jure seat in the U.S. Senate as a common law senator. I really don't know where this is going to lead me yet, but I invite anybody else who wants to explore possibility as a statesman of running for a common law Senate seat at the federal level to see where this might lead us as far as awareness and education. So.
Yeah, anybody who would like to do that, as long as they're willing to sign the contract with the people to stick on common law, not to get involved in politics and ignore the BS, and let's take it to where it belongs, we will support them and lift them up as best we can. We are pushing mostly right now for people to think about running for sheriff, running for clerk, county clerk, and also running for judge, okay? Anybody that feels that they're qualified to run for those positions should definitely run, and of course we'll support them as long as they're statesmen pushing and holding and upholding the common law, which is the Constitution, and not get involved in any BS. Forget, just ignore it. You know, we ignore all the bad stuff people say about us. It's not, look at, if we argue, we're going to give them more time because we're the ones drawing the crowds. They're not. You know, so they say terrible things. We ignore it. We know it's not true. We don't care. We're always going to be bad-mouthed. You're going to be bad-mouthed because that's all evil can do is bad-mouth you. They certainly can't engage you because they don't have the truth. They got the lie. As long as you got the truth, you're going to win in any debate and any argument. All right,
yeah,
thanks,
so
Dave.
I thought it might be fun to shake things up at the federal level, and I really am less interested in winning than I am in taking the journey and seeing who I can educate along the way. So
appreciate
you,
that. Yeah, and we'll support anybody running for any office, again, under the position of statesman, not a politician, being a statesman and upholding the common law.
I'll keep you posted.
Thank you, Dave.
Just think how easy a campaign it should be to run on the premise of a sheriff campaigning, no injured party, no crime, and the state can't be the injured party. My goodness, I don't think you'd have to say anything else. You're running all over the county. Hey, if there's no injured party, there's no crime, I'm not enforcing it. And guess what? The state can't be the injured party. I think you could get a hold, when people understand what that means.
Absolutely, yeah.
They may say you don't have law enforcement. You don't need it. It's the Constitution, stupid. That's what we need to campaign on. You know, and certainly, you know, what they've done is they've burned so many people that they've created a constituency for us. So anyway, I think it would be a very easy campaign to run along those lines. Thanks.
Amen. Okay, David from Kansas, you got the mic.
Hi, good evening, John. Thank you very much. I've got a lot of information here for you. First of all, number one, I'm needing the information on the court case and all the details of the judge to file a FOIA for you guys. That's huge. You can't imagine. I also talked to Johnny B here, and he's going to see if he can help me acquire that from you guys as soon as you get it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you can give me a call tomorrow to discuss it if you want, 845-233-6560, maybe around 11, 12 o'clock.
233-56?
833-6560.
60, thank you. Okay, be glad to. Try to get past my cough. I suggest that you all investigate the KKK Act of 1871, because now it also applies to the use by the feds of calling you a name, i.e. a sovereign, a patriot, a taxpayer, repeatedly. They're in violation of the KKK Act when they do that.
I like that. Let me write this one down because I need to look into that. I love to use their statutes against themselves. After all, they're so statutory, and that's what they're trying to push on us. And you can apply statutes in a common law process when it belongs in there because statutes are written to control bureaucrats, elected individuals, appointed individuals, to prevent them from breaking the law and let them know that there is a penalty to be paid. Don't do it. So the KKK Act of 1871...
Yes.
18th, not 19th, 18th, yeah, 1871.
Correct. Okay, yes, but it's been updated and modified.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Because we're going to bring that up to them, believe me.
Okay.
They love to call us terrorists. Who are these people? Well, why would you call me a terrorist? You know? I'm a sovereign? What does that
mean? There you are.
You know?
Exactly. You can carry on. Any word that you see multiple in any documents, and they're continuously like, they've been calling me a taxpayer for about 27 years now.
Yeah, I hear you.
Excuse me, stop right there. I'm a national. Do you know what that is?
Well, I like to look at the best thing in common law is to call yourself one of the people. That's the key. And again, with the IRS, anybody that wants to take on the IRS, you better know what you're doing. Look at things are going to get back to, Lord willing, we're going to be successful. And only Lord willing, you know, we can do whatever we want. If God doesn't permit it, it's not going to happen. So Lord willing, by his mercy, we will accomplish our goal. If we accomplish our goal, those things won't have to be worried about no more. And that's that. So until then, you know, keep yourself out of jail. Do what you have to do. Sometimes you have to bite the bullet and act like a slave from time to time because you don't have a choice. Unless you understand what you're doing and you're willing to take the time to make the battle, then go for it. But you better know what you're doing. You better really know, you better understand all the things we're teaching here at NLA because if you don't know these things and you try to take these people on, they're going to crush you. So,
I understand.
But anyway, go right ahead, David.
Okay, yeah. Next, I would suggest you contact Rod Class regarding the federal definition of a gun.
We've talked to Rod Class, and we're very familiar with his case. We've listened to him when he's come out of jail. We've listened to some things. So, you know, we're not we know. And matter of fact, he opened my eyes to some things concerning, you know, the what is it? What was that constitutional position for the states? You know, they have to give
equal protection. Equal protection.
Yeah, equal protection. Yeah.
I
didn't pick up on my own. And when he brought, I said, "Whoa! How did I miss that one?" He's absolutely right.
We're all learning.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Indeed.
Anybody who thinks they got it all, forget about it. You have nothing then. So.
I guarantee he did not have a gun in his hand.
No, he didn't. No.
See? Okay. Next, there's the Sanders versus English, false incarceration, being arrested, and then held, and then released at $75,000 per hour. Sanders versus English.
S-A-N-D-E-R-S versus English.
English.
E-N-G-L-I-S-H. Okay.
Yeah, English.
Do you have
like
a
name.
Year or a number?
Yeah, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes. I'll send it to you, in fact.
Yeah.
I'm using it. In fact, I've used it twice now. It's fun. Anyhow, okay. Let's see. Quo Warranto tort claim for millions is the big thing to go for right now.
We don't want to talk too much about that. We have filed a Quo Warranto, and we understand what we're doing.
Okay. Also, I think you found out that on the warrant there was no judge's signature, did you not?
Right. Anytime you can't have a warrant without a judge's signature, and you have to have also an affidavit of a witness of some kind. Without those two things, you have nothing.
I'm getting excited here. Okay. Don't forget the doctrine of unclean hands.
Yep. We're familiar with that and the poisonous fruit. Yep.
You. Good. Okay. I can no longer attend any federal courts. I don't even have a passport to go into their courts since I'm a national. I'm outside their jurisdiction.
Okay.
We don't
teach that argument here. I understand it, but we want to take things back where we don't have to go to do things to make our free. We already are free, so that's our position. But I understand what you're doing. You have to be careful, people who do what you do, because you definitely are going to be marked. And a target, there's no doubt about that. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can cause yourself some problems as you go forward. So you got to be real, real careful when you play with that stuff. Me,
yes.
I'm free. I was born free. It doesn't matter what they said. It's irrelevant.
Free on the state.
Because it's all a fraud. Everything's a fraud.
Yes, sir.
Right, anyway, we only got another minute because we've got a lot of people. Anything else?
Just one final thing. Police officers can virtually only discuss things with U.S. citizens. They can't discuss it with non-government type people.
Right. The problem is that they don't understand that, and they're not going to hear it. They're going to say you're crazy. You know?
But you use that later.
Yes,
you can use that
absolutely.
Later.
Absolutely.
Yes.
When you get in court, you use that stuff. I'm not going to make my battle in the street. It's going to be in the court, the court of law, and I'm going to be as upright, as righteous as possible, lay it out and destroy them in words. That's what you got to do.
Perfect.
You know?
Perfect. Thank you for your time. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for your time, and you've given us a lot of good stuff. Good day.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Okay. Next caller is a 928 number, 634. What's your first name and your state? Anybody out there that could type in the name and the state on this phone number? 928-634, first name and your state.
You've asked me to put in, that is not my telephone number, but I am Lynn Lombardozzi, Pennsylvania.
How you doing? What's your first name?
Lynn Lombardozzi.
Lynn, okay. How you doing, Lynn?
I'm on the NLA website, Pennsylvania.
What happened there? I'm sorry, somehow we got kicked out of the Q&A. Someone hit the button there? Okay, let me go back. Lynn, if you can hit *6 and get back into... Everybody wait till Lynn gets in. It was her turn. Lynn, are you out there? Get back, *6 to get into the queue. I don't know what happened, how that queue went down.
Boy, it just went right down. Wow.
Yeah. Did someone hit that clear queue button there? All right, well, we'll just pick up on the next call. We're sorry for that.
You can't just hit it. You got to slide that, baby.
Oh, no, you don't. A tap on it, it's over.
I always tap it.
Oh, yeah, I tap the next question. I'm very careful not to stay on it long.
I figured
okay,
you
let's
had to
just
hold
go
it
to Jay from North Carolina. Sorry, Lynn, but Jay, go right ahead.
This is Jay from North Carolina. I got a couple quick questions. Oh, one is, you know, your passport says this entitles a citizen or national to travel. So it says that right on your passport.
Uh-huh.
But those are the two. But what I wanted to ask is, when you get into it with the cop on the street, do you inform him he's violating your rights?
I never do, no, not at all. I'll be honest with you. I do have a little bit of a ploy that I pull. You know, I'm a veteran, and I have a card, and I have it right where my license is at. And sometimes the cops see it because they're so nosy. And I think that may play a role.
Okay, well, I just wondered if you informed them, you know, you're violating my rights.
I don't engage them in that way at all. It's just not worth it for me. I don't have the time. I'm a target to begin with. I'm not going to be stupid. That could be a setup right there. Could escalate. I'm just not going to go there. You see,
okay.
You got to be a little smart about this, especially if you're, you know, if you're in the liberty movement, and the more of a leadership role you take, the more you just want to be careful. Don't do anything dumb. Just don't do anything stupid. You know?
All right.
And be leery of new friends. It takes a while. Be leery of new friends. I'm telling you, I think we had an FBI agent nestle amongst us for quite some time. And he finally just left. I'm not sure, but the way he came in and the way he left and the stories he told and things just didn't work, and he was nosy, and he we're telling him things he's never heard before. He's amazed, but he sucked it right in, and he's a true believer, and, you know, it was questionable to me. But anyway.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, Jay, thanks for the call. Sarah from Florida.
Hello, everybody. This is Sarah from Florida. And, you know, I will contact the group for Florida in regard to the Jude Helm. But in any case, I just want to say I tried to get on last week, but we had too many callers, so I didn't get on. But
well, when something like that comes and you can't get in, you go back to the call page, you know, the weekly call. We have a backup number when something like that happens and you can come in through another door. They will ask you what number you usually dial to get in, and they'll ask you for your code, but they'll let you in through that process, and then we can get more people in.
No,
I was on the call, but I didn't get called on. At any rate.
We didn't get to you. Okay, gotcha.
What I want to...
people can't get into the room, you know, so...
That's true. Okay. Thankfully, we do have a lot of participation. So that's the great thing. It is spreading. There is more and more people getting involved. Now, what I wanted to, you know, just tell everybody is that just make sure you document things. Document as much as you can. Now, what I did do was bring up my point that I wanted to discuss on the call with the state coordinators, and I'm just bringing it up to you and everyone to decide, but we're going to have an avalanche of people that have issues. I suggested to the state coordinators that we should start asking people to start writing their affidavits, whatever the issue is, and then just send, like, very short info to the state coordinators, their name, their contact, you know, phone and email, and what the issue is, you know.
One of the key things people want to do, again, if you feel you're in a position where one day they may try to set you up or something like that, and we always got to think about that. I don't worry about that at all, but I do think about it, and you do what you got to do to fix it. But here's the thing. You have someone that's a buddy. It could be your spouse, a friend, anybody They know if you get in trouble, they're the first ones that's going to know. You've got to get someone who's going to be the first one to know, and then you've got to let that person know. This is what needs to happen, and you need to contact these people, and they'll help. And then the people you contact, which will be the group that we're putting together, sort of a group that will be an investigation committee or something for this kind of thing, they will tell the person what they need to do and what needs to happen and what information they need to get. And they'll start working with them on phone calls and different things. And as soon as we can bring that together. Now, you can do sort of a generic paper, but it's very difficult to do a generic affidavit, because you don't know what's going to happen. You have to tell the story, and you don't know the story until it happens.
That's but not what I'm saying.
But someone else can. Well, it's good that we brought it up anyway. Someone else can do that affidavit for you. They just have to witness it. Whatever they witness, they do the affidavit. You get two or three witnesses, two or three affidavits, and you usually pick up the entire story.
Well, it's important that people have a buddy system, especially if they're involved. Now, my family is international natural health activists. There's plenty of people that will come to my side if I need it, which is why I'm very vocal, because they really have to have something totally against the law that I could have possibly done to actually do anything to me. Now, that's not necessarily the case with other people, but, you know, when you have a buddy system, keep your cell phone, keep a camera, always take people's names, you know, always make sure that, like that gentleman that had the local or one of the sheriffs come to ask him questions about NLA, I said, well, you said he was the sheriff together with the local police officer. Did you get both their business cards? Because they're supposed to give you their name and their rank.
And
you know?
Badge number. Right. For an interview, you definitely want to do that. And especially if you're being arrested, you want that too. But again, be careful when you get stopped for a traffic infraction. Do not engage the officer in any way that's going to put him into an ego type thing, because he's not going to like you trying to take over him. He wants to be the boss. And
over 5 years, I've had 4 parking tickets, 3 in New York City and 1 in Florida, and that was 14 years ago. I really don't try to do anything in traffic to cause problems. Now, in what I was bringing up is that we have many people that have already been injured, whether unlawful foreclosures, different tort claims, IRS cases, whatever it is, I think that they can go ahead and, as much detail as possible, go ahead and write their personal affidavits, sign them, get them notarized, make sure you have at least 3 original copies, and then contact your state coordinator with your name, phone number, email, and what the issue is, so that we can start getting a list of what the people need first. I know we're already doing things with the CPS and with the elderly abuse, so, you know, but there are many other people that have already been injured, already lost property, et cetera, and I think that it behooves us that even if we're not going to get into court for another month and a half, 2 months, 6 months, whatever it takes, but at least people will have their paperwork in order, because it will take some of these people a week to a month to get it properly documented for an affidavit. If they go ahead and do this, do not send it in to the state coordinators until we know that we're in the courts. That's your personal business. Keep it in your paperwork, but at least it's ready to go if we're ready to do something.
Okay. Appreciate it, Sarah. Anything else?
That's it. Just Godspeed, everybody. You know, courage and trust in the Creator. You know, that's the main thing. We have to realize that we're stepping in truth, in ethics, in justice, And nothing can stand before the truth. Nothing.
Absolutely. You know, we don't have a snowball's chance in that hot place, you know, except for by the grace of God, because they got everything. They got the controls and everything else, but it's all up to God to make this work. We just got to do the right thing. That's all we got to do. Every moment, just do the right thing. Figure out what the right thing is, do it, and do your duty, do the right thing, and everything else is up to the governor of the universe. So, all right, Sarah, sure. Thank you very much.
Just one quick thing. The Berlin Wall, all the newspapers said it would never fall. It would never fall. Never going to happen. Within a week of those major media articles, the Berlin Wall fell. So, that when God wants the wall to fall, it's going to fall.
Right. Well, we got the horns of Jericho out, so let's see. Hopefully the walls are going to fall.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sarah. Bye-bye. Gerard, you want to pick it up from here? Gerard? Well, I'll take the next. Yeah, you want to take the next call?
Yeah.
Hit the next question. I didn't hit it yet, so just tap it, and you got next person.
Okay. Ann from South Carolina. Go ahead. You're on.
Hi. It's Wonder Ann from Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I have good news, bad news. I did the bad generic email also, Gerard, so I was really honored that, not that I sent it to you, but that you read that of Mr. Badnarik. And he was the 2008 president candidate. However, he sent out an email this morning saying mea culpa that he got misinformation. However, the other side of the issue is that Drake Bailey is talking about this happening in the small towns. So what Badnarik did was give us some data and information that's very useful. If you will look at that list of those towns they're going into, those towns are small towns, and they're easier to manipulate. But I also saw a video that on March 25th to the 27th, Fort Lauderdale had helicopters, and they were corralling people in the evening. So it's going on around us, whether we know this military movement to control the crowd. And one of the lines in the Fort Lauderdale thing was that it was for international reasons because they might have to do that overseas. I said, we've been overseas for decades. What is that about? So it's important that the rhetoric they're using, the false information, all of the fear tactics are purposely being done to rattle us. And what John says every day, stay focused. We need to stay focused. And as you just said, John, do the next right action. Prepare. Keep calm. Be just in your movements. And that is what we're really teaching in NLA. It is important to know that Badnarik apologized that he got false information. However, we are hearing from other avenues that this really is going to be going on, and it's not just going to be in July. They're doing it now. But so small town people, be aware, go to your county council and your city council and say no. And you do need to go with a group.
And really, you know, you bring up another point. You know, they might think it's easier to control the small towns, but I say that it's easier for we the people to control the small towns. Because those council people and those supervisors are voted in by those constituents. So, you know, my goodness, if they get more than 10 people at a town board meeting, they start to get worried. So if you flood that meeting and you say, we don't want this, believe me, and those are the guys that are signing on because they're offering them $100,000, $150,000, which is a lot of money for them. You know, so they're tempting them, bribing them, so to speak. But it should be easier to control the small towns from the ground up like that, because you know you don't have those big politicians with unlimited funds.
Well, and the issue here, though, with dealing with small towns is also they wanted to corral the rural people around those small towns into the small towns to make them bigger towns. This is the whole objective of doing that. So we've got to keep people wary that do not move into the small towns. I think that whole Dust Bowl that we had in the 30s was purposely done to corral people into big cities. China hasn't done it, and they've been in drought for, what is it, 10, 20, maybe 30 years? They still have not gone to the big cities, and China's built their cities. So there's a lot of history we need to look at and what it is they're really attempting to do.
Right.
And it is our time to say no more.
Right. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much for that. Those are good comments.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Just remember one thing, folks. Whenever they bring something out in the major news media, you know, and they wave it in front of your face, they're the magicians. That's where they want you to look. Watch what they're doing with their other hand. It's like when Obama's birth certificate came out, the long-form birth certificate, that week, and everybody was looking at it and examining it to see that it was a fraud and all that stuff. Guess what was going on? They were auditing the Fed the first time in 50 years, 60 years, but nobody paid attention to that. Why? Because they had this phony, stupid birth certificate thing waving in our faces, which they had no intentions of ever doing anything about anyway, and they distracted us. The most important thing was to audit that Fed, and they brought the two things out on the same week, the same day, and that's why they did it, to knock some of the attention away. Well, anyway, we got Michael from California. Go ahead.
Gerard, how you doing, man?
Good, good.
This is Michael from L.A. County. Shout out to Dave Connors, who called earlier. He was right on again. He was talking about how we need to get more people that are interested in becoming a common law sheriff to, you know, put their name down on the dotted line, which brings me to Stephen Dean. The guy named Eric, I believe, that called in earlier tonight. John was talking to him. I don't know his last name or where he's from, but I had to search forever until I looked in the comments section to find this post about him. Stephen Dean post, it was put up, it says Lydia Raiden and Jason Berg are the people with their cell numbers on there. Well, I did my due diligence, and I called them right away because that really was something that got under my skin, and I called the county jail in Utah County, Jim Tracy's place, and I finally got through on the second attempt after the rigmarole and roll around to a lady who's a deputy named Deputy Garcia, a female. She's in the visiting department at the number that is on the NLA comments put up there, that they put up the two people, Lydia Raven and Jason Berg. And she told me that Stephen Dean was definitely brought in on Friday. She gave me the time, 11:51 a.m., but she said he was also checked out today by U.S. Marshals. I asked her who arrested him, because we have all these names on this post on NLA that says it was Sergeant Hansen, and then there was his supervisor, this other person. I think they were involved in detaining him. But the people she said that brought him in were the FBI.
Yeah, we determined that tonight, that was a mistake, that originally we thought it was the marshal, but it was the FBI that set him up and did the arrest.
Right. Well, she gave me a name. Jewel Albertson was the arresting agent for the FBI, according to her.
Yeah, and I believe that Eric has that name. Yep.
Good. And then they transferred him. The U.S. Marshal, she said, transferred him this morning at 6:23 a.m. to Salt Lake City, Utah, but they had no forwarding number. So my contention is that she says, well, I'll transfer you to get more booking information from the booking department. They transferred me to the booking department, and I spoke to a guy immediately who refused to cooperate in any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact, he refused to give me his name, his badge number, or any booking information. And then at the end he goes, oh, I'm actually a civilian, and then he kind of hung up on me. So I think they're basically complicit in their treason and oath breaking, and they're all trying to duck and dodge now as people are trying to say and point the fingers that, hey, you did something illegal or unlawful, and now we know about it. And even though you're trying to move him around to scare him or maybe prevent other people who want to be sheriff from doing the same, well, since it was a federal job from the beginning, the way it looks, the FBI and the U.S. Marshals involved, that really should help people connect the dots between what Obama's trying to do, where he's trying to get his fingers in the pie in local law enforcement more so. He's going to try to set up this other thing that looks benign, like a committee or something. He wants to get rid of the sheriffs altogether. He wants everything under his
Absolutely.
Thumb. He wants to,
yeah.
So what so this guy, I don't know whether there was a felony in his background or not, but all I know is I'm telling you what I found out. I called him directly. That's what they told me. And I think, like Dave said earlier, if there are more people that we can get a hold of in the Patriot Movement who are especially ex-military, ex-law enforcement, or militia members currently, we need to encourage them to put their name on the line like Stephen Dean did to run for common law sheriff in our counties. Had I been involved in one of those things myself, I'd do it myself, but I have no background in any of those, so I don't think I would stand a very good chance of ever getting elected sheriff. But for those that have those backgrounds in ex-law enforcement, ex-military, or militia, that would probably be a good thing for them to join Stephen Dean. Now, where he is now, I'm going to try to find out in Salt Lake City, but does anyone have a clue, you guys or anyone, as to where his whereabouts are now in Salt Lake City?
The last thing we got, and Eric's been on this like nonstop, and he did correct his information.
Yeah, we got information coming in. We have affidavits coming in. We're going to be responding soon.
Yeah, and he believes they're going to move him back to, let's see, they took him to Utah, but he was out of Wyoming is what his home state is, I believe. And Eric has reason to believe that they're going to move him back to Wyoming since we complained.
He's from Utah. He's from Utah. He's in the county of Utah, and I think they took him to a different county. That's what Eric was saying.
Salt Lake City, Utah, right, is what I was told by the Deputy Garcia. So they moved him from his jurisdiction illegally to Salt Lake City. But the feds don't care. They feel they can get away with murder, so they just took him. And now that's been admitted by the Deputy Garcia. So I'm trying to find out, and I will find out where he's at. I put a post up on the National Liberty Alliance comment section right under the original post by Lydia Radin and Jason Berg. My post is right under there with all that information. So if anyone wants to read what I just said.
Don't go anywhere. I need to talk with you. Hang on the line. Do not hang up yet.
Who's this, Eric?
That's Eric.
Yeah. It is. I just have to jump in. Hey, dude, nice job, man. I want you as one of my top investigators. You have to be running. Listen, whoa. You have to be running for sheriff. Having background in law enforcement is almost a disqualifier. We don't want those corrupt pigs running the show anymore. You run. Now, I did not spell Joe Albertson's name for me, please.
They didn't have it correctly. They just said it was a mishmash, was kind of run together. So what I got, what she told me, was Jewel Albertson. That's what I got.
Now, where is the chain of command did someone identify himself as a civilian?
Said it was JuleAlbertson. So I just divided it up into two names, Jewel the first and Albertson for the last. That's how I did it, but you do what you want.
I have one more question that I want to get your information. Can you call me at the following number?
Are you sure? Go ahead.
585-730-9220. Copy?
Yeah, and that's Eric. We'll give him a call, Eric.
Now, listen. Hold it. Let me just get one more question before you go. Where in the chain of custody did somebody identify themselves as a civilian and then hang up?
I told you, the booking department, the answer she transferred me, Deputy Garcia, was in the visiting. When I contacted that number you have on the NLA site that Lydia and Jason put up, the 801 number, 801-851-4302, this lady, Deputy Garcia, answered and said she was in the visiting. I said, look, I went to the search on their main webpage, and Jim Tracy's Utah County Sheriff Department is the main search. You can enter any name you want, and I put that on my original post. It says that, hey, you can't find anyone by that name, which, of course, you can't because nobody's been moved. But he said, I'm going to transfer you to this booking department. So the guy in the book department claimed he was a civilian. How can a civilian be answering the phone in the book department in the sheriff department? Come on.
Pretty damn scary. All right, now I'm going to bounce. Call me, dude, and I'm going to bounce back over to the conference call now and let you get your say.
Technically, that's true, though. Did you know that every law enforcement agent, even though they have a gun and a badge, is technically also a civilian? So I think he's hiding under a technicality is what he was doing and refusing to give me his name and badge. Anyway, I'm going to go. Gerard, thanks for taking my call. And if you guys want to follow this, I don't think there's anything more important happening outside of the museum now than this. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate that. Jason from New Jersey. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, it's been an exciting week.
Yeah, say the least.
Well, again, the beast is alive, and it knows that we're kicking it and knocking it down. And they are now on the attack. And it's time we do our sand, line the sand. It's for us now to be effective and stern against what we have happened. To the people that don't know, I'm Mitch Burke, coordinator for New Jersey. And I had the fortunateness of being jumped by security guards from the U.S. courthouse for photographing a Homeland Security vehicle, which is out in open property, an open space, which is has been sanctioned as protected. And I was jumped, and I spent 5.5 hours in the custody of the authorities.
Well, we had good information. We had good information tonight. What did that one fellow say? $75,000 an hour when they arrest you, detain you, and then let you go. So, 5 hours,
yeah.
You made a good day's pay, Jason.
Well, I so something I didn't want to do. I thank the gentleman for recognizing Lydia and myself. I mean, Eric called me up at 11 o'clock, almost 11 o'clock that last night, and we got this out. On Friday, so we just pushed this out as far as we could. So, I mean, it's happening, and we need a good, effective chain of command. I mean, when you can't speak to the top, leave it to your subordinates, because subordinates who have the passion and conviction of the jurist will go forward. And that's what we got to really, you know, I really love about National Blind. I signed the jurist statement, and it gave me such pride. And having a center point, and this whole, I feel for Stephen so much because they erred in so many ways, and he is the biggest winner and most victimized by the establishment to be entrapped by the FBI, and they have at least 7 different units of crimes committed against my native brother, but on my case. They gave me a ticket.
I wonder on his case why they took 3 months to get an indictment.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were just holding that or if they had trouble.
Well, how was this indictment without a grand jury?
It was a puppet grand jury. They took him out shooting. He didn't get arrested. It was 3 months after the fact, and I just have to question why it took them 3 months on this. Look, this is a baloney charge. You know, and they're setting them up. You know, this is another case, just like Ruby Ridge, you know, where they, Eric cut the gun off and all this other baloney that they did to entrap this guy and kill his family based on nothingness. You'd think they would have learned by now, but they've forgotten. And we have to remind them, you know, this has the smell and the color of Ruby Ridge all over it. Okay, maybe they didn't shoot anything, but it's the same thing. It's a setup by federal agents, and guess what? That's not their job. We don't need them to be doing that.
They're not there for entrapment. And this is
no, they're not there for that, and they're not protecting and serving, and all they're doing.
No, they can't protect. Oh, Gerard, these the police cannot there to protect you. Constitutionally obligated by the 1981 Supreme Court ruling that Warren versus the District of Columbia, where three women were raped, and the police didn't do anything. And this was a ruling that took that long. But the whole point here
is they said they don't have to be there, I know.
But again, every American needs to be armed, not dangerous, because we all are dangerous. Well, everyone here is not armed, is more dangerous than the establishment.
Well, we got a sheriff, I don't forget where he's from, and he told everybody, go out and get a gun, he said, because you can't depend on the police to be there. And by the time They get there, it's over. So make sure you arm yourself. So that's coming from law enforcement, you know, although be it a good guy, you know what I mean?
Well, again, but, the only thing the police are there for is to arrest criminals and to do investigations. Well, what's criminal, the constitutional law or their statutory? We know statutory, without statutory, there wouldn't be 2.4 million people in jail, and 50% are nonviolent, and maybe a small percentage are murderers and thieves. And the rest are debtors.
Well, I don't think we have too many people that are getting into that want to be Andy of Mayberry and pull on the doors and say goodnight, Mrs. Ovalstein, you know what I mean? Things certainly have changed from those days, you know? It would be nice to get back to that, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, but anyway. I just know that. I need to say that in 38 days, I'll be 62, and that's grand, and the fact that in that time period, if you see me, we met in two years ago.
Yeah,
you saw me
yeah.
today. I'm actually look like I'm 40.
That's, well, good. I'll have some of what you're drinking. But let's.
Well,
we got to get
moving
here.
Colado silver, and doing the blood ring. The blood ring is produced by taking an object of water, 13 seconds, with your right left hand flat out, and your other hand made like a circle with the pointed finger up, making a ring. And for 13 seconds, you change the polarity of your water, and also good supplements. So back to you, Gerard. Thank you so much.
Okay, Jason. Keep the faith, buddy.
Thanks for
everything. Yep. Okay, Letta or Lita, I just beat your name up here. You're open. Go ahead. Lita?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you very good, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I'm not Lita. I'm Sally from Michigan. Anyway, I was listening to a YouTube of... interview John did, and in that interview he said something that I'd like a little more information on, that when you file a complaint or whatever in a court, that it, you know, you file with a clerk, and then it has to go to the judge for signature and then to the prosecutor. Do I have that right?
I don't know about when you're talking about what a court case that you're where you.
No judges get involved in any. They're not supposed to be involved in the process until a dialogue takes place between the two parties. If you're filing what's called an action at law or a complaint, now we don't file complaints. We file only actions at law. Complaints is a complaint, and you're coming to them to complain about it. An action at law is you're taking action at law, and you're going to do something about it. So there's a difference. One's common law, one's statutory. But other than that, they shouldn't even know that you filed the paper. The judge shouldn't even be aware of your existence that you filed the paper. And there's a point in time when he may become involved if he is chosen for the case. And we're not looking for judges in our case. We're looking for magistrates. And that's something we have to make clear in our paperwork. A magistrate is someone who is just going to be the traffic cop when the time comes. You don't want a judge in your courtroom.
And really, the way the court is set up, even in the system that they've bastardized, so to speak, is it was designed that the two parties file papers and they make claims and they go back and forth and they do discovery, and they're hoping that at some point they work it out, and it never has to go in front of a judge.
Yeah, but just remember, discovery in common law isn't necessary. When you do a case, if you're going to sue somebody, if I know if I'm going to sue someone, I got everything already. Because I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to go fishing on a fishing trip, and I'm not going to participate in their discovery. Now, you don't have to, because common law doesn't require it. And the worst that can happen to you, generally speaking, is a judge will come on and say, hey, look, you know, if you don't respond to this, you're not going to be able to put in any more information or any more proof. That's okay. I already got it in there. Matter of fact, I had one case where a guy complained to the judge and asked him to sanction me because I gave him too much information on the complaint. I mean, I had a stack of papers almost 2 inches high, and he was all upset that all that information came on the action at law. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Lawyers don't know that because they've never experienced the common law.
Okay, well, I filed a challenge to jurisdiction, and
well, that we used to tell people that because we were all taught that, and that was a problem. We you don't ever challenge jurisdiction. You tell them they ain't got it, okay? And that's the key. And then you don't give them a second chance. They try to take it anyway. When you know they ain't got it, that's when you take them into federal court. You sue them for Fifth Amendment due process. And that takes them right off the bench of your old case and takes everyone out of the court. And you got to sue the prosecutor with them because, remember, that's a conspiracy. The two of them are working against you to take you down. And so that you bring them both out of there. Now you get two fresh new people in that court case that need to do the right thing. And if they don't, they understand that you're going to sue them too. So nobody's going to want to touch your case on that court level once you pull them into the federal level. Now, on the federal level, the federal judge is going to work with them to try to get them off because, you know, they're buddies, man, you know. And you need to understand how to maintain them and signal to the judge with no uncertain terms, I'm going to sue you too. If you want to do something illegal, we've got a common law procedure and process going here. And we're going in to see some a jury here, and they're going to make the decision. You know, you have to make things clear on your paper. And that's why I say anybody that's going to go into the courts better know what they're doing because you're not going to be able to handle these people. They're going to steamroll you down. I can assure you, you're going to lose unless you understand who they are, what they're doing, and how they go about doing what they're doing, and what you can do to defend yourself. Now, all of those answers and all of those, you know, all of that information, you will find between a number of things on our website. If you go and you do the civics course, okay, that's the beginning, all right? You go to books, essays, and lectures, you highlight that, and you look into the court access course, which really explains their system. A lot of that stuff we don't use, but you need to understand what they're doing. So you take the court access course, and then you need to read all the papers on the media page, okay? You just click on the tab media or court filings, one or the other, and you click on that. And then everything on that page you must devour, and all of that is ammunition. It's all kinds of authorities and different things were written, you know, in order to give information, in order to educate. And some of them, the writ quo ante is a real case, but it's got a lot of stuff that you can use. And the information on Bill of Exchange, the mandamus to the sheriff, all great stuff, and it's got a purpose, but there's stuff in there you can use. All of the PDFs and the words, we have the court of law, we have a court of record examples, we have courts that resist the Constitution, de facto versus de jure. These are all positions and things you need to understand, and you need to be able to take this ammo, these authorities inside these papers, and just frame them around your case. And what I do is the facts are the last thing I put into my case. I bring everything together and get everything. Then I bring the facts in. Then I write my, sometimes I may call it causes of actions or counts. I might do it that way. But generally speaking, it doesn't have to be written that way. And you don't have to have, look at the fact that you have an affidavit is prima facie case. The Supreme Court has ruled that, which means if you wrote an affidavit, your case must be heard. They can't throw you out for not having a cause of action. That's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with what we're doing, and we're going to sue everyone for violating an unalienable right of due process of the Fifth Amendment should they try to throw it out. You got to have an attitude when you go in there, but you got to be polite. You got to be gentle. You got to be merciful. You got to be humble. You got to reflect all those good things. But that judge has got to understand you mean business and you know what you're doing, and I'm here with my axe. When I need it, I'm taking it out. They have to understand that. If you can't portray that to him, or he doesn't believe that you have your axe, or he doesn't believe you're going to swing your axe, then you better swing it because you got a problem once he starts to steamroll you. So, you know, look, you got to educate yourself on this side of justice. When we get into the courts, we'll be on the other side of justice. It's not going to be an uphill battle no more. It's just going to be a place of law and justice. Right now, it's a place of havoc, destruction, hatred, injustice, and RICO on steroids.
Okay. I understand that.
So the long and the short is the only time John will use the prosecutor and the judge in the same tense is when he's talking about suing them.
Exactly.
Right.
But you got to turn on your steamroller.
Right.
I thought you said that if the judge didn't sign the paper, that it was a 20-year jail term.
Oh no, no, that's a different story now. No, if the judge takes the paper out of the file, that's 20 years for him.
If you get a summons
and you have to come in, on a criminal case, okay, and they come out with a warrant. That warrant must be signed. It must be a wet ink. It must be a judge that signs it. And also, it has to be accompanied by a sworn affidavit of some kind of a witness concerning the case. That's what's required for them to arrest you. Now, on top of that, they have to get, either before or after, they have to get a grand jury indictment. So they need all those things to do something with you. They cannot take you into an arraignment without an indictment first. You cannot be arraigned without an indictment. You have the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment says that you have a right to be silent on that. You do not have to answer without an indictment. That's what the Fifth Amendment says.
Okay. I'm just talking about a family court case.
Right. A family court case is a whole different thing now. I don't know anybody in their right mind that wants to be there.
You're absolutely right. So
right. Anybody in family court, even if it's a fight between mom and dad, and they're fighting over the kids, you don't want to be in that court. And if you find yourself being in that court, they may lean towards one and not towards the other, or they play their games, and it may be real good for one. But let me tell you something. You're destroying your child. And because what you're doing is you're preventing the child to have one of the parents. And the child, that child deserves an absolute, at bare minimum, 50% of that child's time belongs with dad, and 50% belongs with mom. Now, that's not realistic often. Especially, in today's environment, and both parents work too. So, sometimes it's not realistic, and mom may take them 60% of the time, and dad may take them 40% of the time, and that's okay as long as they agree to that. But they always have the option of 50%. And you see, when you get into the courtroom, one of the things they're going to do is they're going to turn up the heat one against the other. They're going to make it worse than it was before you got there. They're going to get one to lie. They're going to put all these stuff on papers against the other person, and it won't be a sworn affidavit. And then they'll give your child a lawyer, and your lawyer is going to fight, and they're going to separate everybody, and it's going to be filled with nothing but hatred, anger, and if more and more money, you're going to have to pour into the whole system, and it's all about money. And then they get the federal funds, especially if they take the child away. It just goes on and on and on. You need to get away from those things. And we are working on a paper to detail and establish a way and a process to deal with parents, particularly who are fighting for custody or fighting for time with the child. Because you know what? I think that the people in that county that have had an experience in the family courts, and an experience with themselves, with their own spouses, and their own situation, and all this other stuff, I think those people need to be brought together, and they need to talk and work things out with some kind of a trained counselor. And as long as everybody's going along and participating and coming up with solutions, that's well. Then there comes the time when they have to be forced. You're not participating, and you're rejecting everything. You got to work with this. Oh, I'm not going to do it, anything. Oh, yeah. You see, that's when they can then that trained individual, if they can't get them to work with the program, then they go to the grand jury, and the grand jury gets involved, and they make them work. And if they want to work that, well, okay, we'll send you into a real jury, into a court of law, and they're going to make the decision for you, and you have nothing to say. You see, that should motivate the person to do the right thing. And anybody who is fighting with spouse to spouse, when they have a child involved, we're not going to agree on everything, but you got to compromise, and you got to realize that child deserves as much as that child deserves one, he or she deserves the other. And so we're going to create some kind of an idea that could be suggested for people to do in their counties once we get back our courts. And because we've been thinking about this a lot now.
And don't forget, their big thing right now, today, their money thing, is to take the child away from both parents. They want to put that child in foster care if they can, because that's where they make the money.
Well, in my case, that's long past, okay? And I'm the grandmother.
Right. And they don't even want to talk to you. You have no rights. My goodness.
No, you're absolutely right about that. But I heard about, I was listening to that interview, and I thought that that's what you said, that the judge had to sign it. And the judge actually took my challenge to jurisdiction, because anybody can challenge jurisdiction at any time. The case is 10 years old, okay? So I found that out about challenging the jurisdiction, but I thought you said that if the judge didn't sign a paper, that it was a 20-year jail term. And I thought,
no,
that's only
if he takes the paper. If the judge removes the paper from the file to stop an action from moving forward, whether it's criminal or civil, that's 20 years in jail for that individual. If he or she, as a judge, intimidates a clerk to remove the paper, mutilate it, destroy it, hide it, cover it, whatever, send it back, that's 20 years for that judge.
Okay,
okay,
well,
the clerk is 1 to 3 years.
Okay, what happened was I filed the paper on jurisdiction, and it went from the clerk to the judge, but the secretary of the judge wrote me a letter, told me I didn't have standing in the case, and I couldn't file a paper on jurisdiction. Well, I know that anybody at any time can file a paper on jurisdiction.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that right there was a lawsuit, $25,000 minimum for each account and each individual involved in that. In if you take them and sue them for due process in a federal court. Remember, when you sue someone in federal court, they have to have jurisdiction themselves. Anything that comes up, any kind of an action or an assault on you in any way that has to do with a constitutional right, one of your unalienable rights, that is the jurisdiction of the United States Supreme Court. So that once the judge violates you by hijacking your court, bringing you into a foreign court, doing all these things, rejecting your papers, refusing you your due process of filing your papers and defending your case as best you can, all of that is a Fifth Amendment assault on you, right of due process, and you can sue them all. By suing them, you remove them all. You move that guy from the bench. You get rid of the prosecutor. You get rid of all the officers of the court, and you got a fresh new group to start with. And then you say, okay, guys, now what about you? Okay,
yeah.
Because as soon as you violate me, you're going to go over there. You can't really say that, but they got to sense that attitude about you. You're ready to take out your axe if that's what's going to happen.
And if you get that far, they're going to want to get rid of you. That's your victory. If you know they're gonna violate your rights, I can guarantee you that. And if you jump on it right away, like John says, and you bring them into federal court and you sue them personally, look, you'll be a hot potato. They'll want to get out of there. They'll be making deals with you on the front steps before you come in, because they're not used to bearing with that. They don't want to deal with it, and so you know they'll try to get rid of you any way they can. Usually they settle something. So really, there's your victory. That's the best way. Wait for them to violate your constitutional right, and then go after them for it. And I think that's the
they call you into the court and they open their mouth, they violated your unalienable rights. You don't belong there unless there's a jury there to decide on the case.
Right.
So look, and you can't give these people chances. We made this mistake in the beginning. You know, look, there's a lot of poison out there, okay? And we drank the same poison. The fact of the matter is we drank also the antidote to that poison. The antidote to that poison is not being so puffed up and cocky to think that you got knowledge and you got it all figured out. No, to always question everything, even the stuff that's good, you question it. And you got to look, the truth is the antidote. And the bottom line is you know, we were taught certain things and we executed certain things and we had a really hard time trying to figure things out and get it through. We have the school of hard knocks.
Exactly.
And finally we realized, what are we doing sitting in this court? I don't waste any time more than one hearing in a court. That first hearing is the violation, and I'm making a federal case about it, and we're going to federal court, and you're going to be on the other side, and I'm going to be on the offensive side, and I'm going to be the plaintiff, and you're going to be the defendant. But you can't fight in their court because they're going to make the decision, and they're always going to rule for themselves. And they figure, since you're still there, you don't know what to do, so they're really going to steamroll you. They wait a long time to really be sure, to make sure that you don't have a clue on what to do, and then they just end it, and they put you out of your misery.
No, they put me in my misery.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a reverse. You're right.
Where is the 25,000 mentioned in law?
That's my number. Others have bigger numbers than that. I have 25,000. I think it's worth more than that, but I'll settle on that. Anytime they violate my unalienable rights, it's 25,000 per person per violation. And that mounts up very quick, believe me.
Well,
they'll violate you all day long. You'll have five violations on you. They'll violate you five times in different ways, because once you start to write this out and figure this out, you're going to see all kinds of rights that were violated. And then you're going to multiply that by all of the people in the court. All of the lawyers go down with the judge. If it's a private case and you got three lawyers on the other side and they're making an argument, well, all three of them are part of the conspiracy because they're working with the judge to bring you into a foreign court. They were trained to do that. It's called the Bar Association School. They've trained them to bring you into a foreign court. It's a chancery court. It is not a court of record. It is not a court of law. And they have no power to fine or incarcerate, yet they do. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so I guess I'll just do the CPS class action with you, okay?
That's the way to go. Oh, yeah. You don't want to try to fight these guys on your own. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll just do that.
We're meeting on Wednesday for that, by the way, this Wednesday. And we need more volunteers, so we'll be looking for volunteers this Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in our Monday night meeting room.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Gerard, where you at? Go ahead.
Oh, I guess my mic was muted. I'm sorry. I said, we have no name. What's your first name?
19 minutes, by the way.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm trying to get back to my notes here. This is Lynn, who was dropped off earlier.
Okay.
Trying to get back to my notes here.
Take your time. Let me see where. Okay.
Because I didn't expect necessarily to get back in.
Well, if you want to take a minute or two, we can take
the one.
Yeah.
While they try to come up there, I am the Northampton County, Pennsylvania. I am on the NLA site, Northampton County, Pennsylvania organizer. Uh-huh. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, he's out here someplace.
Yeah, but he's unmuted. Eric? He's muted, though. We'd have to find him.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Eric's there and you want to talk with him, you can call me and we'll tie him in there, but go ahead.
Well, he can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I was, last Monday, he mentioned my name on the court watch list. I am an intimate terrorism victim. In my case, I have a document that was subpoenaed for me by an attorney out of Child Protective Services, Department of Human Services, that has documented more than over 40 names right there on that document alone out of DHS of my perpetrators. Over 40 inside of Department of Human Services alone. These were my co-workers as I worked there. And proof that they set us up, that they targeted me and my children according to the log and data entry screen. They were targeting my family, indicated since approximately June of 2005. And when my husband was going to go to jail in February 2010, he got the notice without anyone listing us for custody court. I have the docket entries. When I went to court, I myself was formerly a juvie judge's secretary. I was a 14-year legal secretary. I worked for Department of Justice. And I got a bizarre call, and I went down to the prothonotary clerk's office and got the docket entries. We were not listed to go to custody court, and given my husband's history, we could not. The president judge held secret discussions and created stipulations using our conciliation mom-dad custody agreement docket number and brought us in on a relocation using the custody docket number to make it look like custody. And so my husband wouldn't go to jail. I was walked into a courtroom, and I thought that I was coming in on the restraining order against my husband. The judge informed that she was giving my husband sole custody of my children. And I have not seen them in going on 5 years. I have masses of evidence in my case. But for me to walk into a courtroom, the problem is it is we, the people, I, the person, am isolated. I am destroyed.
Well, that's true. If you get into a class action suit, we can work with you on this. Believe me, this is a slam dunk case. What's going to take a long time is really compiling all of the paperwork that needs to be compiled by all of the people that want to participate in this class action suit, because we presume it's going to be pretty big. And so we'll see what happens. But once we get all the paperwork in, you know, we will...
And for
me,
in my case, because I am the Northampton County...
Well, look, your children deserve a mother. They violated that. That's a huge damage to you and your children.
My children have told the entire community. My children have been informed, Stockholm Syndrome, and have informed their friends in the community that I am a drug addict and that I am crazy. I have no mental health diagnoses.
Well, look at. We know the game they play. We know the game they play. We've seen it done.
It's
we know exactly
a,
what they do.
Yeah. It's a process called psychosis. Have you ever heard that term?
No, I haven't. No.
Psychosis. I don't get that out of anywhere. But myself, I the person, and not we the people. In the family courts, they say the courtrooms are sealed. They will not allow people in. Oh, these are children. We can't allow people in, so no one sees what they are doing. In my cases, they were done Lincoln style, which means we had no hearings. We had no testimony. We had no evidence. No one even filed through the pretrial services, no pretrial settlement conference. There was no brief.
Oh, yeah, they're unaccountable. They do what they want. They don't care. They follow the money. It's all about money. Believe
me,
money was the game in this whole thing.
Well, I've been thrown in jail 3 times. I've got my notice that they can next week. They can bring me in front of the judge next week again to be thrown in jail again because they also, as they were my own employer, retaliatory terminated me from my job, leaving me with no
What you need to do, as soon as we open up the lines for taking information, you need to get your paperwork in quickly. One of the things we're going to be doing very, very quickly, two things we're going to be doing. We're going to be sending out a paper, which is a writ, and I don't know how to pronounce this. It's sort of like a centurion or something. It begins with a C. But it's a writ, which requires a lower court to send to the upper
writ
court.
Writ of centurion.
Is that centurion? That's it. And it requires the lower court to send to the upper court, we the people being that upper court, all the information on the files in that case. Now, they're not going to want to do that. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to be filing.
If I'm already in jail, that doesn't even matter because I am
person, if you get your paperwork,
I can't get a we the people.
If you get the paperwork filled out and to us, the faster we can act and we can eventually get into this case and deal with this and also get you out of jail. You see, we're going to do a habeas corpus on these children. For all these parents that have not been able to see their children for years, who the hell do they think they are to separate and to break up a mother or a father away from a child? Who do they think they are? And then they take children away from both parents or a single parent that doesn't have another spouse, but, you know, they take children away totally, and then they reject sending the child to the family. Look, God gave that child to us. And God has laid down the
case,
rules, you know, if your brother dies
case,
or anything happens, but let me make this point, if your brother dies or anything happens, this means anybody in your family, it is the duty of your brother to raise your children. Now, how does the government get in between
God and your children? I know this. I know this. In my case, as I said, I went down to the courthouse and I said to the clerk, I want my docket entries. Nobody listed us for custody court, and they closed those courtroom doors as I, the person, instead of we, the people, and I have had no rights. My husband tried to kill me in 2005, and he went to jail. My coworker.
All right, well, look, let me. I don't want to shut you down or anything. Yeah. I want to continue to talk with you, but I don't think we can deal with this on this call at this point.
And I know the part here.
But we do need to get you to fill out the paper.
My point is, I can't. My point is, I cannot alone. No.
Okay.
The extreme intimate terrorism that I am under and the duress is the flashbacks going through the extreme injury without someone, without a voice present with me and helping me to write it out, my brain shuts it down. In the
we will have people that will help you with that. We're working on that right now. We will have people that will work
help
with you. Yeah, I'm telling you that we
so
will
anyone
have people
out there, anyone out there who can help me get my own story, because it's easier to help someone else. It's
right,
about
listen,
impossible.
Listen
to
what I'm saying. What was your first name again?
This is Lynn.
Lynn. Okay. Lynn, listen to what
I'm
saying.
The NLA.
Once we set up, and we hopefully will have this set up by the end of the week. We got a lot of people already involved. We've got to have more people on Wednesday involved. We're hoping to have one person per state. Now, once we get this set up and we train the people, which Wednesday is going to be sort of a training thing to how we're going to operate and collect all this information to do intake and then digest it and put it in a certain way that it can be digested. Now, we're going
to be
working on that. Now, once that happens, then you can connect with a representative of your state that will help you. And in this case, like your case, where you need help with the paper of an affidavit, they will help you with that.
I've been trying to find for over a year.
So come to Wednesday night. Come to Wednesday night, get connected, and when the phone lines open, that's when you'll call the people up that would be responsible to help you, and we'll get it going, okay? And we also want to encourage, well, we got a lot of plans for this and a lot of safety nets that we're setting up to make sure that things go well and that, look at, if there's a big fight between mom and dad, something has got to be fixed up. Even no matter what the feelings are, something's got to be fixed up so that people act like human beings when they're together and the children don't see the craziness.
Well, in my case, it's
not
about the feelings. My husband has serious mental health issues. He's an addict and has serious mental health issues. And his
all right. Well, I don't want to get into those. I don't want to get into that discussion here tonight, though.
So
okay?
Sometimes we can't say that the kids are safe. 50-50 is not always the case.
Well, I agree. And again, there are safety nets that we are working on. Look, sometimes there are problems, and sometimes one of the parents, is a concern, and we have to be able to figure that out and deal with that in a right way, not in a destructive way, but in a correct way. And there are ways to deal with certain things, and some things are going to be really tough to deal with, but that's when the jury's going to have to figure that out. And I know that's going to be hard, but they'll figure it out. But better the people than a judge, because a judge doesn't care about anything but his pocketbook and his power.
But in my case, I have a subpoena document that displays a loan of the DHS employees. Over 40 of the employees were involved in it, in subpoenaed documents, and plus other names that I have.
All right, well, look, it.
So
we're going
to
have to
give
pick
a
this
shout
up.
Out as well.
Yeah, Lynn, we're going to
shout
have to
out
pick
as well
up.
To thank you.
Okay, we're
going to
pick this
up
later.
To thank everyone.
Okay, we'll pick this up later. We'll see you on Wednesday. We got to move on. We only got 7 minutes left, and we got a few people left, and we're not going to be able to get to everyone, but we'll do what we can. Gerard, you want to take this?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I just clicked the next button for you, so it's Stephanie or Curtis from South Dakota. Gerard, you there?
Hello. Hi, it's South Dakota Stephanie and Kurt.
Hey,
I'm gonna be brief because we can probably talk about this on Wednesday with the CPS.
Mm-hmm.
But we were looking over some of those forms about who's going to be responsible and putting your lawyers on and all the people involved. And in South Dakota, we had this House Bill 1019 and 1020 that all the legislators, the governor, the attorney general, they all agreed to drug all inmates and mental.
Oh, well, we need to go after those people, don't we?
Yeah, we have. Well, we have to add them to the
bring that up. You're right. This is better for a Wednesday call. This Wednesday coming up, we're going to talk about the ins and the outs and what needs to be done and how to change it. We want to make this a focused meeting, though. We're not going to talk about cases, but we're going to talk about mechanisms and how we're going to work things and how we're going to do things and how we're going to settle things. So let's talk about that on Wednesday.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you, too. Gerard, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Hit the next button. You got 509 coming up.
Okay.
And you got 5 minutes left.
Okay. You're 9-2... Looks like 9-6. You're unmuted. Are you there? 9296, last four numbers. No name.
Hi, this is Rhonda from Washington State.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hi. My son is a jurist through Nebraska. I talked to him about 6 o'clock this afternoon, and he tells me he spent most of the afternoon calling the different entities for Stephen Dean that are listed on Eric's email.
Uh-huh.
Got the big runaround, of course. He said finally in the end, a Lieutenant Nye from the Utah State Police told him that they'd had enough, quote, of these damn calls, unquote, from your group, and the information and the court case is now sealed, and no one will be asking any more questions or answering anything.
Well, we'll see what that police officer has to say, especially if he's in one of the affidavits, if he's named in the affidavit. We're going to see what they have to say when they get the writ of habeas corpus and they're commanded to give answer to their actions and their deeds. So right there is a violation of law, and they're going to have to let them go unless they can answer. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's not in fact sealed and we can still find out information.
Look, there's no such thing as a sealed case, especially something like this. I mean, it was sealed from the beginning because that's what they told people, and one of the officers was perplexed by that. They said, is this a child case or something? Because I never seen this before. So, they're not permitted to do – they're sealing it to protect themselves. Obviously, the guilty, not the innocent. And so they can seal what they want. It doesn't matter. We're going to have them open it, and they're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Okay.
Well, we're all trying.
Yep.
Thank you for the time.
Do the best we can.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next caller, Anonymous. You got about a minute or two.
I'm always coming anonymous. Hi, John. Hi, Gerard.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, I wanted to tell you something. I did, John and you know that I was looking, and I was studying the government. I spoke to Eric, and I asked his opinion if we have a future, like you're saying. And, guys, you are absolutely right. You and me and everybody on their own. Because I looked, compared to the governments. I looked to German Bundestag. There's a hope there. What they're telling to Merkel, they're telling her exactly the same thing you're telling to us. And it's unbelievable. And they have it's a hope there. Then I looked at Obama's administration, and there's people like Jen Psaki. She's a complete idiot and ignorant. And most of Obama's administration is like that. It's embarrassment even to the other countries. And they absolutely have no morals. No, they're not even aware that law exists. That's what my experience. I just wanted to share with you. I'm keep working, progressing in my direction and studying what basis they have to do it to us and how to approach it in the papers. So we're working on it. But the thing is, you are absolutely, absolutely right. There is no hope. There is nobody to talk to. There is nobody who has any decency, honesty, and brain. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Irene. Donald Pitts, you there? You got about,
30
a minute.
Seconds.
Yes,
30
I am.
Seconds.
I am. John Gerard, very good. Yeah. So I sent you, hailing back to the Jade Helm 15, I sent you and John an email with links to what's going on in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There's also
I just got it. Yep.
Okay. I just want to make sure, and I wanted to make sure that Gerard at Liberty nationalliberty.org was right instead of Gerard 53 and so on and so forth. I haven't talked with you guys for a long time. We've been really busy out here in California and getting our district together with all those lists. It's been amazing. Okay, you got it?
Well, we appreciate it.
Awesome.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, with that, I don't know that
okay,
we have...
Okay, we're out of time, so
you're
sorry
out of time,
for those
so.
Who couldn't get in. We only had
a few
people left.
Yeah, we missed three,
Okay, we're going to end the evening now. Thanks, everyone, for coming, and don't forget to come back next Monday, and anybody who wants to get involved in the CPS situation, they have a case, or they want to help, get to our Wednesday night meeting. It's extremely important that we really get enough people to volunteer to help us. Okay, and we have to be standing on higher grounds. Okay, thanks. Good night, everybody. I won't lie.